Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, footlong. Who's got the footlong?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rule. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hymens.
With Fred Kirsch.
Wool, host, annual, host. Host.
An annual
meeting of
the big one, International Preservation Society, tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy.
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls, they're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
Must have been following us for weeks.
Why is that?
How the hell did they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my big fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys!
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio or something?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Life is good if you're a Patriots fan. AFC East champs, top seed in the playoffs. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything more, right? From going from a team that people thought, oh, they could contend for a playoff spot,
sure,
to now being the number one seed going forward, that is incredible.
Best record in football?
That is incredible, yeah.
With the Falcons losing?
Yep. Just something else. So things are good. The Patriots are safe at home. They arrived yesterday at about 4 o'clock after having stay over in Rochester, New York, but it wasn't so bad.
What?
What?
The Rochester or the landing?
Oh, the land. I haven't gotten into the landing yet, but I'm just talking about the overall.
So Rochester
could have been a lot worse. The Giants just got back today.
I had maybe the best piece of, and this is a very limited category in my life, but cheese bread or whatever was on top of that Caesar salad I ordered. The restaurant in the hotel was phenomenal, but I ordered a Caesar salad, which was massive. And it came with this piece of bread covered in multiple kinds of cheese, like laid over the top of it. One of the best things I've ever eaten.
Wow.
It was tremendous. And the waiter was nice. They stayed open late. They were I asked for ice cream, and then Paul's cake came, and I said, oh, I should have got the cake. And the guy goes, you want me to bring you some? I can go get it, and I won't charge you for the ice cream.
Wow.
Very, very nice man.
So that's Andy great. And I
gated up a little and split the ice cream.
I was
going
to say that, but I was thinking of a better way to say it. We split the ice cream.
Yeah, had our cake a la mode.
Meanwhile, I was toiling away in my
shut
room.
Up. No, yeah, listen, you had this already is you. Eaten. I called to see if you want to get food. Oh, I already ordered. That's a team player
I
you are.
I knew that I wasn't going to be able to get out of my room, so I figured I better get some food or else I'm going to go hungry.
What'd you have?
I had some wings and a patty melt.
Was it good?
Open-faced sandwich. Very good.
Yeah, that was the best hotel restaurant I've ever had.
Yeah. It was very it was good.
So. Who knew you had to go to Rochester again?
All right, we'll be here until 2 o'clock talking about the Bills game, talking about the Miami game coming up, playoffs, other teams in the playoffs, coaching changes, lots to talk about. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline. So, guys. Pretty incredible. We all thought that they'd beat the Bills, even though I had my doubts. And I had my doubts going right up into the game and that first drive when the Bills ran right up the Patriots' gut didn't get into the end zone but scored three. And I'm like, uh-oh, Patriots are going to be in for a dogfight. But then from then on.
God bless you.
It was a sneezer, not a laugh.
It was just a sneeze into the arm.
I didn't expect all the turnovers, obviously, but
I did. I had it about seven going in my mind. Yeah. You know, that's
I was not surprised at all about the manner in which they won the game because I just, you know, Buffalo cannot stop anybody against the run, and I thought that's what the Patriots would do, and that's how they set the tone for the day, and it was completely evident that whether they were going to win 42-40 or 34-3, they were going to score whatever amount of points they needed to score to win the game because Buffalo could not stop.
Right. The only thing I would say is I think the Bills kind of put the run away too early. That second drive, they came out and spread it out a little. I think
with a 3-0 lead,
right? So
don't forget, because they did actually get a stop on
the
first
possession.
I think there's
a chance they could have had a more competitive game and could have run the ball more. I mean, they basically put the run away for all intents and purposes. I mean, they had half their yards on that. It was like 60 yards or whatever on that first drive of the 120.
And it wasn't like the Patriots stopped it. Patriots never stopped the run.
No,
they just stopped running.
Didn't Fred Jackson end up with like 13 carries and almost 90 yards?
81 yards he had, and he had 60, well, almost 60 of them on the first drive.
50 something on the first drive. And you know, they put it away for some reason.
Bill Belichick said that after that first, you know, drive, they came out originally in their nickel package, and then they said, "Uh-oh," they went more to a 3-4. But I'm with Paul. I don't know why teams do that. So what? They changed their personnel. Still prove to us that you can stop it. The Patriots' D line was still hurting.
Right. It still includes Eric Moore and these other guys who were in the UFL 3 weeks ago.
Andy Cohen out there starting. You know, I know he wasn't out there in the second drive.
Playing the role of Ron Brace in Buffalo and getting blown off the field by the Bills.
I don't think it would have made a difference because even if
like
the Bills scored 20, 30 points.
The Patriots would have kept scoring.
Right. Exactly. So, although Brady's numbers were pedestrian.
He wasn't great.
He wasn't great, and his receivers weren't great in the game. There were several drives. Welker, I think, dropped three passes. Mm-hmm.
Worst game as a Patriot, I would say.
Gronkowski dropped at least one really easy one that hit him in the chest. There were some opportunities to make plays, but also I thought Brady missed some opportunities. Look no further than the very first play of the game. Wide,
Gronkowski
should have been
down
a 60-whatever-yard touchdown.
Yeah. That hurt.
Wide open.
I think the wind did play some tricks with the ball, and I think
it's weird because I've heard in the press conference Bill downplayed it, and then yesterday I heard him talk about it. And he talked about how Fitzpatrick, they were trying to throw outside the numbers, and it was hard to throw outside the numbers.
Yes.
But in the press conference, he said, "I didn't think the wind was a factor," after the game.
I think he was kind of making, trying to do a solid to Ryan Fitzpatrick because I got to be honest with you, I think he had a lot of success throwing the ball outside the numbers, and he also threw interceptions throwing outside the numbers. I don't think it was wind related at all. I mean, they may have had more 30-plus yard plays in the game than the Patriots have allowed in any game all year. Mm-hmm. They threw the ball down the field effectively in the game. They just kept doing it, and then they would turn it over.
And the
it was clockwork.
And the one play where they called it an incomplete, the one that McCourty and Merriweather broke up on the sideline, that would have been like another 20-yard
pass. That was the end of the first half.
That was a complete. I have the photographic evidence to prove it. The guy was down. He was being touched. He had the ball in his grasp, and he's in bounds. And that's a catch, completed catch, and they called it incomplete. So I don't know.
Fred's big on it doesn't matter what happens after that.
When you're down and touched and you have the ball in your possession, the play's over.
Yeah, but
if you have
not
the ball in your possession.
Not according to not according to the NFL. I agree with you.
Yeah.
As you know, I've whined about this for years.
I'm not sure you can take literally a snapshot and say you have the play.
Right. He did not complete the act of the catch. According to the NFL.
Poppycock.
Okay.
Anyway, it was good for the Patriots because they ruled it an incomplete, but it was a complete.
Let's talk about Rob Gronkowski's big day. Hometown boy, Western New York native.
Amherst, maybe?
Maybe.
Amherst. It's all Buffalo.
Did you know we weren't all really sure where he was from, so in different ways
did you notice
we were
how many different ways we
the
said
area?
The hometown boy,
well,
the Western
I knew,
Buffalo.
Well, because he lived down the street from Vic Carucci, and I know that Vic Carucci's from Amherst.
And he told Vic, you're going to write a paper about me someday.
Right.
Which is a college paper or write in the paper
you're gonna
about
write
me?
About me.
I talked to Vic about
the
that
quote
before
I saw said, you're going to write a paper about me.
Yeah, that Vic says he said, you're going to be writing about me someday, Mr. Carucci.
Yeah.
I always believe him. He's a little vague in his recollections at times.
But a big,
I don't know.
This is what he does on this show.
I've yet to see Julius Peppers play for the Patriots. I'm just saying.
Oh, so he was wrong on.
I'm just saying.
You know. Wow.
Imagine if people held him to that kind of
a
standard.
No kidding.
What? I told you Gronkowski would be good, and he's good.
I told you Bradford would be good, and he's good.
Okay, should we all listen?
No, let's move on now.
You're wrong.
I told you they'd run the ball last week. They ran the ball.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the ace ticket hotline.
Along those lines, I think people we may have been wrong, right about, whatever. I thought Gerard Mayo had his best game as a Patriot. Impact player in the passing game, deep drops, big hits over the middle. That's how you transform from being a tackle machine to a great linebacker.
I agree with you, but
far
I would say
and
that,
away the best game he's ever played.
I would agree with you, but I would
Patriot.
Say that he had one of his many good games this season.
This was far
That's
and
fine.
Away.
When has he had that much of an impact in the passing game?
In anything.
Well, I think Gerard Mayo's had a Pro Bowl year.
He may have.
He may have. But in, yesterday,
London
I
Fletcher
mean,
went to the Pro Bowl last year. So, think, okay, tackle machines go to the Pro Bowl.
Sunday, in my
I remember
opinion, was
several
his best
times
game.
Over the course of the year, you guys look at me and say, okay, he made a play.
Yeah, but
he's
not
made
like,
more plays this year,
yeah.
No question.
Not like
he's
yeah,
also
not like
made
Sunday.
He's also made you
he's
know
getting
15
better.
Nantucket sleigh ride tackles 8 yards downfield.
Well,
he did get credited with a forced fumble that he didn't force, but that's beside the point.
So no, I think
oh,
Mayo
he
had
that?
Yep.
And we saw the video 1,000 times. It was
Kyle
Arrington
stripped him.
His hand
he did not get credited
out.
For a forced fumble.
Darius Butler had a decent game.
He did.
I thought he was active.
Darius Butler.
I thought he
Kyle
was active.
Did not.
Yeah, Arrington struggled. It was a lot like the Jets game in reverse. Arrington struggled in some of those one-on-one, you know, around the guy he's supposed to be covering but not aware of where the ball was or where he was.
Yeah.
He lost Spiller. By the way, I just saw the replay of that. Another great job by the Pro Bowl free safety coming over to help out about a half hour late. Brandon Merriweather, to me, is completely useless. He's gotten to the point of being completely useless.
He was useful this week because Jimmy was sick and they needed him to play a little bit.
And not surprisingly, by the way, they gave up 3 or 4 30-plus yard pass plays in the week that Jimmy was sick. Anyway, end of rant.
Okay.
Too many good things to go on a rant. Too many other good things happening.
Several people on the blog commented how it was nice to be in a game where the referees weren't trying to be, you know, the stars of the game, that they were letting the guys play. What did you think about that? That, you know, a lot of non-calls that, and other crews may have, you know, thrown the flag.
Well, I mean, I guess on the heels of Ed Hockley and that.
But were there more penalties in the Ed Hockley game than there were last night?
There's more of him talking.
Well,
there was no timeout. It was an administrative stoppage.
Yeah. Ed Hockley feels it necessary to put the
microphone
on between every play. But he doesn't have to call a penalty.
Right.
He just likes to talk.
Yeah, and I think that Hockley did the game last night with the Saints and the Falcons, and they didn't do a very good job. I don't think his grade is that good this year, his crew.
I don't know.
Bill certainly snickered
at their grade.
There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
At one time, he mentioned, you know, after discussion that it was Atlanta ball, then he had to come back. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
he
messed that up big time.
You know,
and then he called the double pass interference, which you don't see.
Right.
He called there was a play where there was offensive and defensive pass interference.
Yeah, well, that's not Hockley's fault. He didn't call that.
No, but
his crew sucks in general.
Who was the first guy to interfere?
So he called that there was a pass interference called on both guys. So he called a push off, and then
the
defender got called.
And then they replayed the down.
It should have been.
Penalties.
I thought it should have been defensive interference.
I thought it should have been too, because if anything, Roddy White's trying to get him off him.
Right,
the guy was draped all over him.
Right. So any you know,
was the ball thrown
that's
that
interesting.
Way?
Oh yeah,
and completed.
Yeah, it was incomplete right over their heads.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'd have to see that play. I tend to agree with you guys. I find it rare to see a play that legitimately was a penalty on both guys.
That whole crew just blew last night.
Yeah, I thought they did. I thought they had a tough game. And
I think
all crews.
The Monday Night Football guy, like Gruden and Tirico and all those guys, they pointed it out. They were like, "What is going on? This is terrible."
I didn't really notice any like blatant situations in the Bills game where I was like, wow, they're really letting them play. I didn't really see a lot of penalties that I thought like needed to be called that weren't.
Well, I think there were a couple long passes that maybe somebody
might have,
but the bloggers were very pleased with the way they ref the game.
I'm glad they were pleased.
Yeah, I mean, we got that going for us.
Yeah.
Speaking of bloggers, we met one of the people from Pro Football Focus.
Yes.
And he may join us later in the week.
Well, I guess he's not. He's going to join John Rook's show because John Rook's show was the one that really ripped him.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, not us.
Oh, okay. Big surprise.
It was Rook himself, I think.
I'm with
that really ripped him.
So,
we don't tend to treat those kinds of sites very kindly. It's a fair to say that we probably were critical.
Since there's no Patriots playbook today because Rook's not here, I booked him for tomorrow. So he'll be on with John tomorrow.
Okay. Well, tell John not to back down. Go at him.
We'll have to
nice
listen.
Young lad.
He's
probably
a drunk,
Irishman, right?
Drunk. Yeah, he's a drunk Irishman.
Well, yeah, because I could tell he was drunk.
He's from Irish.
From Irish.
Because he said he misplaced my card, and I wasn't in Buffalo. And
oh, I gave him a card.
I've never met the guy.
Andy
so.
And I gave him cards.
Not my card, though.
No.
Well, why would I have your card?
Exactly. He said he misplaced my card, which is why I was
you never leave this place.
You
work
7 to 7.
Maybe
he was talking to Andy.
Maybe, that's true. But my email address clearly says KevinC@Patriots.com.
Oh, he sent an email to Kevin C?
Yeah.
Oh.
And said he misplaced my card. And I was like, how the hell would you get my card?
He's drunk. What do you want him to do?
That's true.
Know. Just another way that you're trying to insert yourself into the story. Yeah. He gives me the look.
Maybe whatever, it was just confusing.
Maybe we should call it Pro Football Blurry instead of Focus.
I see what you did there.
All right. Anyway, going back to this trip.
We did find out, by the way, Freddie,
yeah,
that they don't have any special tape that they watch. They don't have the All-22 or anything like that. They do it off of TV.
Yeah.
Kind of calls some of the evaluations into question. They spend a lot of time on each game. 15 hours, did he say, roughly, per game?
Per game?
Per game.
15 man hours per
15
game.
15 man hours per game.
Hmm. Well, I believe it because
on TV. Did you do the math times 16? And how many hours?
They have a lot of people.
Yeah.
Oh, do they?
Oh, yeah. It's not just him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. But I can see that using TV tape, trying to get every piece of a play.
Oh, you'd have to do a lot of
rewind, fast forward, angle. Yeah.
Watch this first, and then rewind and watch this second. Yeah.
But getting back to the trip,
and then get all the stuff from Mike Reese. Going back to the trip, yes.
Vince Wilfork.
So we were at the Hyatt in Buffalo, and the USA. Hockey junior championships were there, and
right.
You know, teams from all over, literally the world. All
Paul
the,
was giddy because he thought he might have seen a guy from Northeastern.
Yeah,
he actually
he almost
was not
jumped
there.
Out of his
he
pants
did.
At one point.
He was not there,
but
because you would have molested him had he been there.
It was the best kids from under 20 kids from the USA versus Finland, Germany, Sweden, Norway. You know, Canada. So it was a big
deal.
The U.S.
deal. Won their first game, by the way.
It was a real
3-2 in overtime.
It wasn't just some slappy.
It was
tournament.
It wasn't slap hockey.
The World Juniors.
It was a big, big
in the
deal.
World of hockey. I know people don't really care about hockey, but the World Junior Championships is a pretty big deal.
Yeah. So they were
at
the
hotel.
I don't
care about Northeastern, but you're talking
because
about
that.
Because
of that, when they realized that we weren't going to be able to get out of Buffalo, we couldn't stay in the same hotel, so we had to take about an hour and 45-minute ride to Rochester after the game, and that's where we ended up. But we got out yesterday from Rochester Airport at about 1 and landed in Providence. You know, about 3:30 after they de-iced our wings and all that stuff. But the landing...
My stomach arrived about a half hour
was
later.
...was quite an adventure.
It's really windy.
I've been
ain't lying.
I've been on many, many flights before, and we were coming in hot and all over the place.
To a snowy runway.
Yeah, and even when we hit the ground, I thought, this isn't over because I figured we might start skidding or something.
It was scary.
Yeah, but we made it.
I was queasy.
We were there.
It was tough.
And when we landed, the plane erupted in applause, because I think everybody was feeling the same thing. One, they were happy to be home and happy to be alive.
Yeah, well, there weren't many flights coming in and out of here, period, so it's good that you guys got home.
Yeah.
Even at 3 o'clock yesterday, it was still blowing 50 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
From what I heard, there were no flights from Buffalo to Boston until Thursday.
Yeah.
So
I know
a lot of the writers
were driving home.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jason's still stuck in Denver.
Well, maybe he shouldn't be allowed to take vacations 17 times during the season, but that's a different topic.
Yeah, what is that all about?
Hey, at least Freddie, I did what I could for you yesterday. I had to shovel my 150-foot-long driveway.
At 4 a.m.?
No.
Uphill the damn thing.
No, no.
We had
entire
to be
way.
Here at 7 a.m.
No,
so he had to get up
at
4.
No, no, no. We had no power, and so I knew that there was
no
chance.
He didn't actually have a shovel. He had a spoon.
There's no chance of me getting here on time. I got
what
in
spoon?
About 11.
You had a spoon? You had a spoon? I had to use my foot.
Well,
but yeah.
You got out. Apparently, the hills of North Providence were too much for Eric because he's out today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure where he is.
He won't be by later.
Yeah. I would thought he'd be in today because.
I would too.
I know, would have thought that
it's a work
the normal,
day.
The
it wasn't
normal
the
rules,
normal thing where.
Yeah, our normal schedule was thrown off a little bit. Normally, we all take Monday off.
Right.
Well, no one got Monday off. We were traveling.
So did you guys.
Evidently, he still got his Tuesday off.
Did you guys plop, like, in the hotel room and do all your writing from the hotel room?
Yeah, we wrote, edited, back and forth, emailed. Has anybody flipped through the paper to see if we have any mistakes?
So the paper's
not through?
Oh, the paper got out at
Oh, it's out. I'm not necessarily saying it's the best issue ever.
No, I'm just wondering.
I looked through. I thought it looked pretty clean.
I'll have to get my hands on that later for Pete, I'm sure.
Nothing
glaring. It's definitely more difficult to edit on the computer than on a page.
Yes, absolutely.
And let's face it, I'll speak for myself on this one. I'm not exactly a crack editor to begin with. I miss a lot of typos and stuff, so...
Yeah, no, it was
we
okay.
apologize in advance for any...
good cover, though.
Hopefully there was no vulgarity that made it through.
That would be that'd be a problem.
This was not the week for the little games, Andy.
Oh, I didn't play any games.
And
nothing.
Fred had to write all the captions, which
could be the week. I should read
those.
Did
you read them yet?
Did you get really clever?
Did you read them
doing it for 12 years, Fred, I'm out.
You know how we do the captions with the word in bold before the caption?
Yes, that's...
The one with Gerard Mayo, the word in bold was Playmaker. I figured you guys would see that and go, oh, there he goes.
I
tried to bring a little something to the table.
Yeah, I thought it would
be. He had a great game.
You know,
I thought he played really,
mustard
really well.
Mustard for mayo.
Sunday.
Well, here's a question, and this is something you and I might argue on All Access. I suggested this to Matt. You might have seen the email. If you had to pick one guy to be the defensive MVP for the Patriots this year, who would it be?
It's a good question.
I think there's three guys that are candidates. I think it's Mayo, Wilfork, or McCourty.
I would agree with your three. Yeah. I think it's Wilfork.
You think Wilfork over Mayo?
Yeah.
Kraft and Mayo go together.
You know?
I would certainly agree with Andy.
You think Wilfork over Mayo?
He's the only guy on the front line that's been healthy. He's moved around to play all the positions.
Mayo's been healthy.
I said the front line.
Okay.
Yeah. He's playing with guys named Landon Cohen who weren't on the team a week earlier.
Yeah.
I just think
that's a good, you know.
There's a little Brady to it. You know, Brady's been surrounded by new weapons this year and kind of had to fit everything together. I think Vince Wilfork's had to do that week to week on the defensive line, and that's a lot of responsibility for a nose tackle.
Well, breaking news: you can cross off the San Diego Chargers as Super Bowl contenders next year. Evidently, the Spanos,
when news breaks,
Dean Spanos has announced
break
that
it.
North Turner and
radio.
AJ Smith will return.
We can get into that
North
later.
North Turner not getting it done.
Oh. You got more breaking news up here.
What do you got?
Adrian Peterson expected to play tonight.
Who's that Joseph from the Redskins? Who's Joseph?
No, one of their linemen got arrested. Washington Redskin lineman. I forget the name. So,
Jonathan Joseph?
Well, as Paul said, it's the Patriots and everybody else when it comes to, you know, teams being inept.
Oh, no, that's Andy's.
It's a one-team race.
Yeah, that's
it all along.
Steal
starts at the top.
One-team race.
I mean, the Patriots have had their off-field issues. You know, Brandon Spikes recently.
Well, everybody has off-field issues.
When it comes
but
to
they don't
just,
create them. Other teams
right.
create them
yes.
or pour gas on them when they happen. The Patriots squash them.
It's even like the bad teams, and I know that it's easy to pick on the bad teams, but like San Francisco. On Sunday, after the game, is it Jed York? Is that his name?
Yeah.
You know, he's tweeting out that the search for a new general manager is going to start immediately and blah, blah, blah. And it's obvious that the next shoe to drop is Singletary.
Right.
But what about Singletary? Well, we're going to let the new GM. And that lasted like 12 hours.
Right.
Before they said, well, all right, yeah, I guess you're right. You know, we have to fire Singletary too. I mean, why are you tweeting?
Right,
you're the owner of a franchise.
Yeah,
is Robert out there, you know, saying, "Geez, I think Brady needs to protect the football so he can set records." He asked me once. Complete
Robert,
and total ineptitude.
Should I have a Facebook page? I said no.
you
don't need one of those things.
No one needs those things.
Yeah, but you're right, Paul. It's just I don't understand. Irsay from the Colts. Now it hasn't really bit them yet, but. Don't you think eventually it will?
And I don't mean just the fact that they are doing it. They're doing it controversially.
Yeah.
You know, York specifically doing it about personnel decisions, important things that should be kept in-house.
Irsay's tweeting out inactives for the game. It's like, don't you have a PR guy to do that?
It's very strange.
You know?
I don't get it.
It's weird. So I don't know if it's because of the CBA coming up. They want that connection with the fans. They want the fans to feel connected to ownership. Because if there is a lockout, that's who the fans are going to be wagging their finger at is ownership, because it's the owners that choose to do it. So maybe it's a, you know, kind of a way to kind of create that connection between fan and ownership. Hey, we're real people. We're just like you type of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, just like me.
You know,
with your $1 billion.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's I think it's a little bit dangerous.
I do too. I don't see the upside. I see a lot more downside.
I don't get it. I don't. I don't see what the purpose is.
I know you'll be happy, Fred. 7 minutes ago, Albert Breer tweeted that he made it to his hotel room in Philly.
Oh, good, because that was quite a journey for him.
29 hours from door to door, Green Bay to Philly. He has 20 minutes to regroup before hitting the ball.
I know in my hometown they had a candlelight vigil for him. They weren't sure he was going to make
it's
it.
Kind of like Homer's Odyssey.
I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to horse.
I don't know if he made a stop with the sirens, but...
If we go to the Super Bowl, I know where I want to go. Mark Cuban just tweeted he's planning a huge Super Bowl party the night before the game.
Oh.
See if you can get me on that list, Fred. That's a guy that I bet can
Why
throw a party.
Why are we talking to him? Let's go upstairs and talk to the people in marketing. They're
that can get you on a list.
I want to be at that party.
Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
My favorite owner of all time.
So, all right.
Aside from Robert Kraft, obviously, you know, he's, you know,
right. Insane. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Is the phone number on the Ace Ticket line, and Sam from Brighton is calling in. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
What's up, Sam?
Hey, speaking of Albert Breer, he seems a lot more comfortable with Tutcher and Rich than you, Andy.
Okay.
You know, he's talking about, like, his girlfriend and stuff with him. You see yourself starting to be yourself on that show anytime soon?
No. I don't really know them well enough to feel like I can be open.
You don't want to talk about your wife.
I also don't know which one's Tutcher and which one's Rich yet.
And I don't want either one of them touching my wife.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, I called in
the Tutcher and the Rich there.
Right.
I called in to weigh on the Patriots defensive MVP.
Yeah,
sure.
I think it's actually Devin McCourty.
You could make the case.
He would be my number two pick.
Because, you know, this is a turnover defense. I mean, they just go down the field at will. We can't stop anyone pass or run. Until we get a turnover.
Sure.
And, yeah. So
I think his second half
and
surge
one. Yeah.
has been tremendous. I think he has been a key playmaker for them.
Yeah.
But I lean towards Wilfork.
If the Patriots' run defense was bad, it isn't. You know, that's one of the reasons why they've stayed in games. If teams could run on the Patriots like teams can run on the Bills, it'd be lights out. Forget about it. They wouldn't be where they are now, and I think, you know, a lot of that is Wilfork. You gotta give him props.
All right. Well, thank you guys.
Okay. All right, Sam.
Sam and Brighton.
Thanks, Sam.
Taking time out. Must be Christmas break over there at the elementary school in Brighton. I'm only kidding, Sam. I know you're not in eighth grade.
It is vacation week.
It is. Web radio at patriots.com.
For Eric.
Let's see. Fat Pat writes in. He says, just want to give big props to Ames in Iowa on the curse words. I'm in the Philly area, so if the Eagles aren't on all I get, if the Eagles aren't on, all I get are these sucky New York games. CBS always screws us out of the Pats game. But thanks to Ames, I was finally able to watch the Pats play on a Sunday afternoon and enjoy a blowout on my laptop. I still haven't figured out how to get comments on curse words, but if Fred reads this email, props to him too. Peace out.
You get so much criticism for not reading emails here and for not posting comments on here.
Well, no, every game people ask, what are the links for the game? What are the links?
Right.
And Ames, I guess, had a good one that was, you know, good quality.
Clear and crisp.
Yeah. How do those work? People just find these sites that you can upload video to or stream video to, and then I think they just do it from their TV. You know,
it's interesting because the bar that we went to in Buffalo used to do that but didn't do it this year and apparently must have gotten squashed by some authority.
Yeah, we found the place open across the hotel.
Even that worked out better than
on Christmas Day
for.
Called the Century Barn Grill. Give them a little plug.
Took care of us nicely.
They got the beef on weck.
They
even though none of us had it.
Tremendous fake breasts.
And
things were massive.
Sinead O'Connor.
You know,
yeah,
so that was good.
Batting for the other team, but
you know,
I like breasts. I'm passionate about
the owner,
owner
was
oh really?
Yeah,
the guy in the you see he wears coveralls.
I don't know which one it was, but she's the one that said my husband tried to get it whatever and couldn't.
He must like big cans.
They are beautiful.
They were big.
It was good to get a meal.
Yes.
You know.
Excuse me, ma'am. Can I help you with anything?
Well, you know, the Jets had some downtime. They were watching movies. I guess Rex watched Barefoot in the Park.
Well, you don't have to put your feet
You
on.
Get me laughing before you even get to the punchline because I know it's coming. I don't even know what Barefoot in the Park is.
You never heard of that movie?
No.
That was a well-known movie back in the 60s, I think. Barefoot in the Park.
No?
But most men like to do a lot of things with those people.
I like that line.
Love it.
I don't really know what that means, but.
Love it. Well.
See, when I get snowed in here, I have time to cut this crap up.
The only thing I can think of, it feels like it would hurt, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow, they're really
like
soft.
What Paul did, except with a foot?
So they're really soft.
Wait, what did Paul
do? What did I do?
You know, the colonoscopy, but instead of a tube?
No. Oh. I just meant instead of the hand, the foot.
Oh.
Foot job?
All right.
Sounds like it would hurt.
Thank you.
Speaking of
moving on,
defensive
she has
players,
a lot of dexterity with her.
Chris from Narragansett writes in, pleased to see Peter King mention Ninkovich in his Monday morning quarterback piece. He is an unsung defensive player this year. I don't know.
I agree. I think he has been a little
under
the radar.
He's
been okay. But he hasn't been a standout. And I do find it strange that Peter King chose this week, because I don't really recall him standing out much on Sunday. Do you?
No.
I'm a huge Ninkovich fan, so
yeah.
He's not quite in the Rodney category or anything like that, but I like Ninkovich.
Just give it time. These things have to develop.
Foster a relationship. Yeah,
might not
absolutely
have time. When they draft an outside linebacker and he becomes a backup.
This is true, but I think he has played for a guy in his spot. We remember, back in the summer, we sat down, we talked about all these 4 and 5 year guys that really had done nothing as NFL players. Well, most of them still haven't done anything, but Dan Conley
has,
and Rob Ninkovich took advantage of their opportunities, and they've sort of, I wouldn't say they established themselves as longtime NFL players, but they've shown that they can compete and they can play and they can be starting players for good teams.
Kyle in Manch Vegas writes in, I guess
that's Manchester.
Reminds us today, this broke, that wasn't sure if you heard, but Sergio Kindle was arrested this past Sunday on DUI charges. Kindle was ticketed for driving under the influence of alcohol, speeding, and failure to obey traffic control devices.
Thank God Bill Belichick's drafting and not Andy Hart.
He just lost his head.
Yeah.
He wasn't paying attention.
But
I was waiting for the drum roll.
Bill, tremendous job in avoiding Kindle. I'm assuming you picked up on some things when you sat down and really talked to him and dug into his background, but well done.
Yep.
I don't care if he could play.
And Ito writes in, cheers.
Oh, I do. I care. Clearly he's a total moron. I mean, his football career is on lifelines, and he's going out getting hammered and driving around. What are you doing?
Ito writes in from Bosnia.
Hi.
He says, love to listen here in Bosnia. I follow the Pats online. Live streaming on the ATDHE.net. Since you guys are talking about it right now, go Pats for a Super Bowl ring.
ATD.
So Ito from Bosnia. People all over the world.
And that was an instant one.
Listening to us. So it's Kevin. Who's he talking to?
I don't know. His mom.
Evidently, it's not the food.
Yeah.
I'm a little upset about.
Yeah,
what does he have against having the food here to start the show? He seems to be really opposed to that.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. I like the food here to start the show.
He's here since like 6 a.m. He hasn't been a chance to call in yet.
At least he's not wearing that cap crooked today.
Perched up on the top of his head like a Division III player.
He's probably working. He's getting the flames ready because, late in the year, they like to put the flames on all the boards and stuff for games.
You guys are getting your wish.
What?
That was actually a guy calling up trying to get Jason's information to seek employment.
Oh, we're going to get rid of you?
Doing radio production.
Nice.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. So things are starting to shape up in the NFL as far as the playoff picture. The Saints are in with their win over the Falcons. Big win for the Saints. I think it was classic case of the current champion telling the young buck, hey, hold on there. We're still around. Go into their house, and they beat the Falcons. First time the Falcons lost at home this year. So that was a good game to watch. Philly's playing tonight against Minnesota.
Tuesday night football.
Yeah. Giants are still in it, but they're hanging by a thread. They have a chance. Green Bay is still in it. So still a lot of things still to be resolved. But in the AFC, it's a little bit clearer. Except for the seeding, we know all the teams that are in.
Right.
The Jaguars could
The Jaguars in, right. could get in if the Colts lose and the Jaguars win.
Right.
But yeah, it looks like the six teams, but they could be the Patriots are the only ones that are locked into their spot.
Right. So who would you prefer to play first round? For the Patriots division
prefer
round.
Prefer to play.
Well, let's eliminate Jacksonville. I think that will be our first. That will be our first guess for everyone.
Because that's
right?
Brady goes 26 of 28.
But let's just say, for argument's sake, Pittsburgh wins and they're the two. Okay, so that's not a stretch, right?
Right.
Indy wins, they're the three, and Kansas City would be the four.
Right.
So the Jets and Baltimore would go to Indy and Kansas City in some
right
way, shape, or form.
Well, I'll take the Jets.
I think right now the way the Jets are playing,
they stink.
That would be my most preferred
team. But they would have won a big game on the road to get to come here.
Big whoop. They could have won the game on Sunday easily, too, but they're not playing well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would take
the
Jets.
They easily could have won that game Sunday, but their defense is just in shambles right now. Tom Jackson talked about it again. They are not getting to the quarterback, and everything that they do defensively is predicated on getting to the quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt I think the team most fun to beat would be the Jets. You know,
I'm just going, I think, good matchup team to beat.
But here,
I would go Jets.
I don't fear them.
But
in order of preference, Jets, Chiefs, Colts, Ravens.
But here's the thing. You know, once again, Jets back into the playoffs. Last year they get to the AFC Championship. This year, if that happens, they would have got to the division round once again. So, I mean, is Rex Ryan doing something right, or are they doing it despite Rex Ryan?
I don't understand the question.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first 2 years as the head coach, the first year you get him to the AFC Championship, second year you get him to the division round against the Patriots, if your scenario comes true.
Well, the first 2 years he's in the playoffs. I mean, clearly he's doing something right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a team that's littered with back-to-back playoff performances.
They're not playing well. You know?
No, I don't think they stink, but they're not playing
well
right now.
Compared to playoff teams, I don't think they're playing
very
well.
For 11 weeks, Freddie, they were playing really good, but right now they're just not playing very well.
Were they playing real good?
They were playing well enough to win 9 out of their 11 games.
Right. Is that because of the competition this year?
Well, I don't know.
Or the Patriots?
Can we not say that about the Patriots? They've won 13 out of their 15?
No, I think...
No, we can't say that because we don't say that.
Well, I think it's fair to say, you know, are the Patriots a great team historically? I'd say no.
No, historically, no.
Yeah,
but this year, the Jets were one of the better teams this year up until about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, when the Patriots dismantled them. I think they stripped him of their confidence in that game.
Their manhood, as Fred would say.
Well, I don't want to take it down to the rape level.
The
that
Julian
Fred
Edelman
it.
Level?
Exactly.
Perhaps.
He has looked different on the football field ever since he was taken care of by the Browns.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Lucky is on it. Hey, Lucky, how you doing?
Hey, happy holiday, fellas. How you doing?
Right
Good.
Back at you,
What's up, Lucky?
Did your Christmas turn up? Well, I know you guys had the game, but
that's a negative, Ghost Rider.
As far as gifts go, did you get any good Christmas gifts? Or did you get what you want?
Yeah, I didn't really want anything.
I wanted to get back from Buffalo as soon as possible, and I didn't get that.
You know what the worst part of Christmas is? All what? The damn toys breaking. We've had a rash of toys break 2 days in. They make crap these days, absolute crap.
Hey, wow. Atlanta, about that one. I don't have to buy that many toys, though. I just get gifts for the kids that I mentor. But I'm going to take care of that because it's getting too many of them. We're going to have a Secret Santa next year.
Nice.
Now everybody can buy for everybody, and I don't have to spend $500 buying for a bunch of kids. So. Right.
Did you spend it, or did the United States of America spend it?
Yeah.
I spent it. Either way, it came out of my pocket. Trust me, if I find a way for the military to pay for gifts, then I'd be happy. I'd do whatever I wouldn't care.
So what'd you think of the game? You ready for the Super Bowl?
I love the game. Even though I actually messed up this time and because I had the kids that I mentor was over watching the game, and I wasn't paying attention, and I usually tape every game on a DVR just so I can watch it later. And because I was with them and flipping back and forth, I didn't DVR the game until like the second half. So
yeah, wasn't a great game to watch.
Yeah. It's always, well, listen, when
you
they
see
win,
one fumble,
you've
seen them all.
It's a good game to watch and rewatch. But when they lose, you know, I usually just kind of delete it.
Well, yeah, I can understand that.
I haven't had to do too much of that this year.
No, only twice.
Yeah. Hey, for the next game, obviously, you know, we have everything locked up, and I know Belichick isn't going to sit people, or those who are healthy anyway will probably play, but do you think this last game will be a game where Price might be able to get in to the last game? I'm just kind of intrigued about, you know, what he may have the yes. possibility of doing is seeing him at least once this year. I know it's like a redshirt year for him, but at least give him one game.
I thought maybe he'd be active in Buffalo when they, you know, had six players downgraded to out before we even got to Buffalo. Yeah. I thought he might have a chance. He wasn't.
Six of the eight were injury-related. But
I do think you could see him. I mean...
Yeah, like for example, Lucky, Deion Branch was on the injury report the last couple of weeks with a knee injury. I don't know how serious that is. Aaron Hernandez missed the game with a hip injury. If those two guys, if you want to sit them out, you might just need a receiver. Right. And maybe he could get in there that way.
I'm pulling for him. Get his JV letter.
And I know that you'd probably see Matthew Slater playing receiver, too, because you know he's going to be active.
There goes that turnover ratio.
All we need is Price to score one touchdown. Why hasn't he been playing all year?
That would be entertaining.
I guess they scored 20 points.
I just want to see, because I figure this would be the game for him to at least do something, because you know the starters ain't going to play. Well, I take that back. If they're playing horrible against Miami, they're going to play the whole game. If they're kicking Miami's butt, then you know they'll probably play like the first half or whatever, and then they'll put the backups in. But I think he'll do like I forget what game it was a couple years ago, but when they're playing bad, he has them play the whole game.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think you saw some of that last year in Houston.
You've seen him do it a bunch of different ways in the preseason against the Rams. You've seen him do it a bunch of different ways, like San Francisco. I think it was 04. They got off to a really bad start in that game. And then they kind of they stuck with it a little bit, and then they got the lead, and then he took them out shortly after halftime, I think. You might see something like that. Even I don't think winning the game necessarily is the highest of the highest importance, but he's going to want to see them play. I can't imagine that he's just going to sit them all out. I don't see that.
You can't.
No.
I don't mean everybody. I mean Tom Brady.
Well, that's what you said.
Here we go.
Can't rest them all.
It's like Greg Brady. Your exact words are taken. That's like a Dale Arnold argument. Well, they can't all sit. Okay, thanks.
All right, Lucky.
All right, you guys have a happy holidays and a happy new year.
Happy New Year to you.
Thanks, Lucky. You too.
Bye. Lucky writes in, Brooklyn Matt says, Andy.
Uh-oh.
Barefoot in the Park was a well-known 1967 film with Robert Redford and Jane Fonda. Also earlier, when Fred mentioned Homer's Odyssey, did your brain go to The Simpsons to figure out Fred's literary reference? Today's show, two Andy gaffes and counting, and we're only half an hour into the show.
He counts that as a gaffe.
It's going to be a banner day.
You didn't know who Homer was.
What a freaking moron that kid is.
I love him. Brooklyn Matt. Brooklyn Matt's my favorite emailer ever.
Chad Ochocinco tweeted out a photo of a billboard that might be able to help Eric. Unfortunately, he's not here today to take the help. Still a virgin, for help, call 888-743-4335.
Wow.
I don't know if it's like a prostitute or what, but there's a number for people that are still a virgin.
Was there a picture with it? Maybe it was like, I can't see. What is that?
this is great radio.
No photo.
No, it's just still a virgin,
right.
For help, call, and the number.
So you want to just forward that?
To Eric?
Yeah.
What is his Twitter account? How do I do that?
I wouldn't even.
I think you can email it to him too. No. Anyway, 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
Did that stupid movie win any awards?
Which one?
What stupid movie?
Barefoot in the Park.
Probably at the time.
Never heard of it.
It was a big movie in '67, I guess.
Sorry,
Robert
I'm not
Redford,
old.
Jane Fonda. Those are big names.
But that doesn't mean it was a great movie.
I wouldn't have been able to tell you Robert Redford and Jane Fonda, but I've heard.
Yeah. Alan, Georgia writes in Big Al.
Big Al.
Well, another one bites the dust. I'd predicted 13-3, but it's looking like 14-2. And of course, both times we finished the regular season 14-2, we eventually won the Super Bowl.
Correct.
I think our defense against the run will improve as the injured defensive linemen return for the playoffs. In the meantime, there's no sense playing any of them next week. Wolfork needs some help to stay fresh.
Fred needs some help to keep his lunch down.
The only team I worry about in the postseason is the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are the one team we beat during the regular season that I believe would be capable of beating us the second time around. And the good news there is if we have to play them this year, the Pats will be pretty fired up to trade off last year's thumping in Foxborough. Neither the Colts nor the Steelers are nearly as good as they have been in the recent past, and the Jets' playing suck. It's hard to say much about the Chiefs. I like that team, but they had a pretty soft schedule.
Yeah, that's the thing that I don't know about the Chiefs. I think everything Andy says about Kansas City is accurate. You know, they have the intriguing sort of intangible of Weiss and Cornell and how much they might be able to help you schematically. I think that's an intriguing...
I worry about
that's
that.
That's an intriguing factor. And they also have the elements.
You've seen McDaniels beat him. You've seen Mangini beat him.
Right, yeah, twice Mangini beat him.
And you could argue, in both cases, with less talent.
Yeah.
You know, the most recent one, last year with Denver, it was a sort of a middling team, even though they were playing well. And certainly Cleveland is not a very good football team, talent-wise.
So I do worry about... You know, the knowledge that they have.
That's an interesting. It's an interesting intangible, and they also have the very real tangible element of a 2-pronged running attack that can give you problems if you don't handle it. I think the Patriots would, because I agree with Al. I think that right now what you're seeing with the run defense is a product of, they're a little worn down a little bit in the front seven. I think that they have some moving parts out there that have affected what they're doing. So I think that could improve. But with Charles in Thomas Jones and a decent young – and Castle's playing mistake-free football. They don't turn the ball over. Dwayne Bowe is capable of making some plays.
That's
an intriguing team. I just don't think they've beaten anybody any good. Their best win all year was opening day against San Diego in a game they were pretty fortunate to win. And, by the way, San Diego's 8-7.
Right. Right.
You know?
Right.
So I think San Diego's a very talented team. That's a good win by Kansas City. Even though they're 8-7, that's a good win.
Barefoot in the Park was actually a play first.
Oh.
Long running. Neil Simon.
Oh, right. Right.
Wrote it and played like 1,500 with Tony Award winning and then was later a movie. Actually came back as a play more recently with Amanda Peet as one of the characters. I kind of like her.
Dr. Clark writes in. And one thing we didn't mention, there was a rumor or a speculation yesterday when the 49ers said they were going to hire a GM. Floyd Reese's name got mentioned Jason LaConfora of NFL.
And Nancy Gay locally.
Nancy Gay said that
he was the front runner.
He would be the front runner.
I don't know if they have any inside knowledge or if it's just speculation. But Dr. Clark says, Fred, I can't help but think that Floyd has been a great help to Belichick in recent years, including – with the draft, is he a prime candidate for the Niners GM job, do you think? I guess you have to look at him if you're the 49ers, you know.
Well, he's a guy with experience.
Yeah.
He's got that quality now that teams tend to look at and success in the Patriots organization and what can we absorb from that.
Well, the 49ers need is stability. They need a leveling, person there that just – I'll tell you what to do. Just do it.
I guess a lot of people are looking at the Mike Lombardi, Jim Harbaugh combination for San Francisco. We were talking about Jim Harbaugh, Andy and I. But
if Nancy Gay says he's the front runner, I think he's the front runner. She's pretty well connected in the Bay Area.
Okay.
So if she I take that a lot more value to that than LaConfora just throwing out four names and saying these could be top candidates.
Right. Let's see. Brett from Leominster says, Fred, I always thought Brian Mormon had an unusual name. Did you get a chance to ask him about his heritage? Maybe what religion Mormon is.
Yeah.
Well, that's not even funny.
Yes, it is.
I have a semi-serious question in that regard, and I don't know the answer to it, so I'm going to ask you.
It'll be a semi-serious fight to follow.
No. I promise there won't be. I promise, Andy, there won't be. You said Cohen, right?
Right.
What about Cohen's with an S? Is that any different?
I don't know.
Okay. I told you it was a serious question. Because we had a player that the illustrious Shane Donaldson pointed out to me, reminded me of, our first year together back in 99, Willie Cohen's. He was a defensive lineman out of Florida, undrafted free agent. He was sort of one of those hybrid Willie McGinnis elephant types.
But wasn't that spelled C-O-E-N?
C-O-H-E-N-S.
Oh, it had an H?
Cohen's.
Okay.
But it had an S at the end.
I don't know.
I didn't know if that's any different.
Let's see. Carl writes in, the Democrat and Chronicle had a front page photo of Danny Woodhead walking in between probably the two tallest players in the league, Mesko and Gronk. That must have been a funny photo. I had a good photo of, I didn't use it, of Brady patting Woodhead on the helmet.
Didn't you use it?
Well, can't use all of them.
Yeah, but you said it was a good one.
Well, it was a good photo, not for the paper, but I thought it was an interesting photo. But it was like, the dad patting his son on the head.
B-Lo just had a funny joke you'd appreciate, Andy. I'm carrying the soda in. He goes, is that for Paul? I go, yeah. He goes, what are all the other guys going to drink?
Who said that?
B-Lo.
Oh. Yeah, for a Diet Pepsi, you guys would be in trouble.
Low. Now, where does that name come from?
He actually told me how his nickname originated the other day on his show. Well, he said, remember Derek Lowe for the Red Sox? And everyone called him D-Lo. So
really?
Around the time he was popular, everyone started calling him B-Lo.
You needed to have that explained to you?
Yeah, really? Yeah, kind of. I'm not that old.
You're not that smart, apparently, either.
Paul writes in, can you explain why either the NFL or NBA is so against any player or coach being critical of how a game was officiated? The NFL won't go to Vegas because they don't want to appear they endorse gaming. If I were going to fix a game, I would do it through the officials. Why is it a mortal sin to comment on a bad call? I just think that they're easy targets, and you don't want, after every game, coaches and players, you know, just blaming it on the refs.
Right. And it's the same with every league. Shaq just got fined
$35,000. I tend to agree with it, though. I think if you allowed a little of it, I don't think it would be so hard to – I think people get frustrated because not only they have to deal with it, but they can't talk about it. Do you know what I'm saying? I think if you allowed a little – now, if it got out of control and guys were constantly – you know, standing up there in the post game and they're blaming the game. Yeah, by all means, find them. I don't think that would happen if you allowed them to blow off a little steam once in a while.
I think you can't, you know, then it's like, well, when do you, you know, when do you.
You know what the answer to that is. You know it when you see it.
No, I know, but it's like the whole thing touching a ref. You just
No, that's
ref,
different.
You know, it's like there isn't great, they can't start grading whether or not it was a touch or a push, you know. I think they like things black and white.
By the way, are we going to talk about the Pro Bowl?
Do we know anything yet?
No, but it's coming out tonight. We usually like to speculate?
Well, we can do
throw,
that. Throw
pose our opinions. And is the NFL mad? You think that, which I'm assuming is one of their bigger shows on NFL Network, the Pro Bowl announcement show, is going to be going against at least the pregame of a football game because it's an 8 o'clock kickoff, 8:06 or 8:04.
Well, I think 4 o'clock is when they start doing the announcements, right?
No, but the show is at, like, and those announcements aren't supposed to be announced. It's supposed to be announced at, I believe, 7 p.m. Is that the time?
Oh, really? I don't
know. It's an NFL, the show is called, like, NFL Pro Bowl Announcement Show or something. But it'll be going head-to-head with the pregame show for Tuesday Night Football. Losing their little window there.
You have some great ones, though.
What?
The announcements aren't supposed to be announcements.
Well, they're not. I know they start to trickle out, but they're... They tell the league and you know, whatever, the players, so the coach can tell the players, team, whatever.
Yeah,
then it just kind of trickles out.
Yeah. I mean, I just wonder how many people find out by watching that show who made the team.
Right.
I just generally assume people don't really watch that network.
It's like the
and
schedule.
If there's one exclusive thing they have.
The NFL Network has made a show about the schedule.
Right.
But everybody knows
everybody
the schedule
already knows
before.
It.
Did we?
Yeah, I think the teams post it as soon as they get it, and then.
And we're not allowed to put it up there until right. They gave us the okay.
Chris with a TIAN says, I'm thinking the starters play a half this week. What do you think? That's a possibility.
Sounds right.
I think
depends how they play.
Maybe a little more if things aren't
as
smooth.
Yeah, it depends on conditions on the ground.
If he gets all pissy like he did in the third quarter when they had back-to-back penalties on a play, they could play the whole freaking game.
As for the playoffs and teams I don't want to see are the Ravens and the Chiefs. Yes, the Chiefs. As has been the case, except for the last year playoff game, it would be a close knockdown, drag-out fight against the Ravens. As for the Chiefs, way too much knowledge of the Pats and how they do things. I mean, Vrabel, Castle, the coaches, front office. I've seen this movie before, a la Mangini with the Jets and Browns and McDaniels with the Broncos. They did play the Browns in 07 with Rack and smoked them. I would like the Pats in that match.
That's a little bit incorrect.
Okay.
That game was deceptively a blowout. If you recall, the last play of the game, I think it was it Randall Gay? Was he still around then? Someone returned an interception with no time left on the clock. That was a much closer game than the score indicated, that Cleveland game here in 07. Do you remember, Andy? Or is that one out of your mind? I remember watching on the in-house television system at the end of the game. That's how they covered. Interception with no time left on the clock, returned for a touchdown.
It was probably not something that stuck with me because I probably throughout the game felt the Patriots were in control, even though it was fairly close.
Yeah, that's how we felt about every game
that
year.
Except the Ravens.
Right up until the Super Bowl. even then, the Super Bowl, we all thought, well, they'll just go down and get a field goal and go into overtime, remember?
Yeah. I would like the Pats in that matchup if they were playing the Chiefs for a second time this year. Am I being a pussy, as you say, Fred? No, I think we all share the same thing. I mean,
say this, I'd rather play Pittsburgh than Kansas City. How's that sound?
And it's kind of the unknown. You know,
Pittsburgh might be my number one if they weren't, you know, eliminated by being the number
two seed. That's the game I would most like to play.
Yep. So we'll see. All right, 12:55. We're going to take the 12:55 break. We'll be right back.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows. And a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking and there's this weather coming and it's like dark clouds and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes, and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and there's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. and his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one ever knew about. But there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks, it was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either. Hold. All right. Welcome back to PFW in Progress. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. You know, I'm driving in to work, and I'm listening to EEI, and they had Neumeier and Ryan filling in. And, again, I forget which one of them said, and it doesn't matter because they both agreed, no matter what happens, if the Patriots don't win the Super Bowl, it's going to be a massive disappointment. And here's where I disagree on that this year. I mean, in 07, that's true because I think the mindset then was they will win. It was a foregone conclusion. They will win. I don't think that's the case this year. I think it's more like we're excited because we know they can win. They have the potential to win it. But I don't think it's they will win it.
I think most fans right now expect to win it.
Really?
They're feeling really good, really, really high, really...
Yeah,
see, I think they still acknowledge, yeah, the defense isn't great, but I think they expect to win it.
But that's the thing. I think, you know, you see that flaw and you go, geez, any game now.
But I think they look at the rest of the league, the competition
right.
thing, and say, you know what? We should win it.
Look, I think if it wasn't because of that, the Patriots wouldn't have a chance because of the defense. But I think it's because of the competition.
Right.
So, you know, that.
You're the best. You should win it.
That word should, I think, it should be replaced with could. Because
but anybody could.
No, I know, but
they should.
I think,
as Algie Crumpler said, if we prepare the way we should during the week, we should beat the team we're preparing for.
I
agree with him. You're better.
Yeah, and
you are better.
I agree with that, and I think that, you know, Vegas agrees with that as far as the odds go. I think everything being even, I think the Patriots should win this year. But I don't think it's nowhere near 07.
No,
where 07
but
was
don't compare it to that. Just compare it to right
now. 07,
December 2010, yeah. Looking at the 12 teams that will enter the postseason,
but let's put it
who
this
should
way.
Win it? The
if,
Patriots.
If the Patriots get to the Super Bowl, and you know, forget about who it's against. It could be any team from the NFC. Atlanta, you know, New Orleans, Philly, whatever. If they lose that game, will you feel the same way as when they lost 07?
No, but no one's saying that. Get 07 out of your brain.
Well, to me, that's
just say right now, should they win it?
That's the massive disappointments of all disappointments.
Right.
You know?
But it's still going to be a disappointment because you yourself just said they should win the Super Bowl.
But
they're the best team right now.
Of course it will be a disappointment, but I don't feel, you know, the same way as 07. I really do.
Get 07 out of your mind.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Overall. I think the Patriots are certainly the favorite right now. But a very slim one. Mm-hmm. I think that they could be an either-or game with four or five different teams. So when it's that close and it's that tight, I don't know if should is the right word.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with you. I expect the Patriots, and Andy and I have talked about this, the Jets game for me, I drove home from the Jets game and my whole outlook of the team completely changed. I was like, wow, I was really impressed with what they did in a big spot. And I thought that was a playoff game. To me, that was a playoff type game. And to dominate the way they did that day told me that this team can very well win it all. But, you know, watching the 16 games, so many of them could have gone either way that I think they could win it all. Absolutely. But I don't think it will be a huge letdown like it has been in the past. Like if the 2004 team didn't win, as opposed to this team, I think is a huge difference.
You know what? I'll come right out. And say
I don't think your mic's on.
I'll come right out and say in 07, losing the Super Bowl was a failing.
Right.
Losing the Super Bowl this year would not be a failing.
See, I think you're comparing to apples and oranges.
But I think that's
it's
what
still
people
a failing
are building
for
it up
this
to be.
Year.
I think that's what people
just
are
like when they win,
to.
They're not going to be considered the greatest team ever.
No.
It's a totally different
right.
season,
but
a totally
I think
different
that's what some of these commentators
stick.
Are building it up to be that if they don't win, there's something wrong. I don't think it's like that this year.
No,
I don't even think it's close to that.
I mean, I don't know what level these people
you're disappointed.
Are taking.
I think the Arizona Cardinals were disappointed to lose. I mean, you know.
I mean, I was disappointed in 1998 when they lost to Jacksonville.
No, but that's because you didn't win, not because you expected to win.
But let's replace that word
I don't think they need
failing.
To be upset in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
This
I think another team
would
come in and beat them.
I think whoever loses, it's an upset. So, I mean, whoever beats them, it's an upset.
They're
the best team in football.
But is it a failing of the team to have lost in the Super Bowl?
Now, yes. You've proven yourself the best team in football. I don't care about all the questions coming into the season. I don't care about young or anything. You know, Rob Gronkowski is not a question mark. He's a guy that has 7 touchdowns. He's proven himself a good NFL tight end, just like the Patriots have proven themselves the best team in football
now. And that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
He's got 9 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's not a question mark, but he's never been in the playoffs. He's never been in a Super Bowl. And I think until you've done that, everybody's a question mark. You know, okay. Those are the things that, I'm just saying that, you know, these guys, I think it's unfair to build it up like they should win, and if they don't, it's a failing. I'm not buying that this year. I'm not buying that.
I'm a little with you.
The language is just.
You really disagree with my commentary then last week.
I don't know what your commentary was.
About the expectations suddenly, you know.
Yeah, I think you change expectations. When you prove you are something over, to me, when you've played 15 games, that's a long time in the NFL.
Did the Saints upset the Falcons last night?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But over the course of the season, Atlanta's proven to be a better team than New Orleans.
Marginally.
Right. Just like the Patriots are marginally better than the other playoff teams.
I guess I think more of I think the Patriots are considered the best team in football
right now. Well, if Green Bay comes, if they play Green Bay and Green Bay beats them with Aaron Rodgers, is that an upset?
Yeah.
Why? Because the Patriots barely beat him with Matt Flynn.
Right. But everybody said it was the same. Matt Flynn was Aaron Rodgers that night.
But what do you say?
See, but that's what Fred's point is. That is what everybody's saying.
The Patriots
are
the best team in football.
I do too.
So if they don't win it.
But the margin is not great.
Right. But it's still a margin.
I think you're.
I don't think all the other teams enter the playoffs with the expectation that they should win the Super Bowl.
Oh, I doubt that.
I think the Patriots enter the playoffs. I've seen it on SportsCenter. You want to compare to past teams, right on that little scroll that tells you what's coming up, who can beat the Patriots themselves? And they are assumed to be the best team in football.
But
everyone else is trying to catch them.
But that's my point, Andy. I think it's unfair, that buildup. I think it's unfair.
That's exactly what his point is.
That's my point.
I don't know why it's unfair. You have the best record in football. You have the best quarterback in football. You have the best coach in football. You score the most points in football.
All right. So up until this point in the NFC, the Atlanta Falcons had the best record in the NFC.
Right.
Would it be?
Do they have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick?
They should win.
Do they have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick?
Isn't
there some assumption?
You just used record to prove something.
I used about 7 things. One of which was Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Matt Ryan, as you would say, is unproven. Tom Brady is not.
Well,
Mike Smith. Is that his name? Mike? Mike Smith?
We went into the season saying that this is all about the defense. That we were confident about the offense. It's going to be fine.
Right, right.
But the question mark is the defense. And over the course of the season, you know, the stats, you know, were... You know, you couldn't rely on the stats because if you looked at the stats, the Patriots had a terrible defense. But they got it done with turnovers, and even you said that's walking a fine line.
It is.
You know? So why would it be such
an amazing
upset if they lost?
They've allowed opponents less than a score or less in 3 or 4 games, right?
Well, here's the thing.
I mean, the defense is making plays.
It is. There's no doubt about it. But I think you're just, you know, maybe you're just – being argumentative.
No, I think the Patriots are the favorite to win the Super Bowl. It will be a disappointment if they do not.
Well, I agree with that. But what I'm saying is that this buildup that if they don't, there's something wrong, that, you know, it's a foregone conclusion.
I haven't heard that.
I can't buy that.
I don't.
You know, I don't.
I don't know what degree
07,
people are taking it to.
07, I think it's fair to say that.
Right. Well, that's because they were undefeated. They were about to be anointed the greatest team in football history.
It's not the same this year.
No, and anyone who's saying it's the same is an
idiot. If you listen right now,
who?
You just mentioned it.
And,
guys on
and you started
ESPN.
Off by talking
about
the guys on the radio.
They're the best team in football. That's what they're saying. Who can beat them? Because, and part of that is through the AFC, all the who's they've beaten. They've notched them all off throughout the season. I think that's part of this whole invincibility. Well, maybe they're not great, but they've already taken care of good.
Look. I think they're the favorite, and they should be the favorite. But again, it's not a big margin. It's not.
That's the thing that I agree with you about. I think it's a very fine line. I think that they've had a lot of close games when they've been up 2, 3, and 4 in turnover ratio this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you talk about, you know, all the things that are equal. Well, what will happen if they play a mistake-free game.
Right. And for all those reasons, I believe runaway coach of the year should be Belichick this year.
I agree.
Runaway. I don't even think it should be an argument.
I think there's arguments, but I think Belichick should be.
Well, you know, they say Mike Smith and all that.
Todd Haley.
Todd Haley.
You know, Todd Haley.
Guy.
Yeah. But, you know, I I really think that Belichick, hands
down. I do, too. They hold it against him that he's the best coach in football.
Right.
Which I find funny.
So then you should get the
award
for
the best
coach
of the year. To win
coach
of the year, you're held, it's held against you that you're the best coach.
I like Bill's chances for that.
I don't think he's going to win it.
I think he's done the best job.
I don't think he'll win it. I think the media hates him, and that's part of that voting process.
Right.
Can we talk about the Pro Bowl now? I know you poo-pooed it in
the first hour. Go ahead, because we don't have any info.
We never have any info, and every year, the day the Pro Bowl is going to be announced, we try to guess who's going to make the Pro Bowl and who deserves to go to the Pro Bowl.
I didn't know it was a tradition. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I thought you were on the show in past years.
Go ahead.
Can we talk about it?
What do you got?
I think Wilfork and Brady are the only locks, and I think they're probably going to be the only two that get announced today. And then I think you'll probably see some others go to the Pro Bowl as first, second alternates. Mayo would be next in line.
Mayo will go second.
I think Gronkowski
team.
Will go. I think when it gets down to it,
really?
with Gates and Heap and some of those guys hurt. And, by the way, he's had numbers.
Yeah.
He's putting up impressive numbers to go along with, I think he probably gets some love in opposing film rooms. Defenses say, this Gronkowski's freaking killing guys, blocking, and right. catching touchdowns. So I think there's a chance he goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he might only get two tonight at
seven. He definitely benefits from the glamour tight ends have been hurt. Dallas Clark in that group that Andy mentioned. If anybody's really looking and doing it right, he should get some points for that blocking because he has been an all-around tight end.
And I think McCourty could go on the same way as an alternate.
There's some good tight ends. I mean, Dustin Keller is a guy I think that mm-hmm. should get some consideration. I have no idea what his numbers are. I don't know if he's even for all I know, he has two touchdowns all year, and Gronkowski has nine. I think that he's a pretty good player. I think he's a pretty important part of that offense. Heath Miller is a good solid player for Pittsburgh. You saw how much they missed him when he was out for a couple of games there with a concussion. So I think there's an under-the-radar type guy in Gronkowski. Possibility.
But I think it's probably just going to be the two when they get announced. I think there's a chance that's all you have.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mayo would obviously be next in line.
Well, back in those 03, 04 years, very few Patriots made it to the Pro Bowl.
And then you might get a lineman. Mankins might get some love.
Yeah.
Or one of those guys, Light or Copen. Those are sort of the three names of the offensive line.
I got to think Mankins won't, though, because he missed the
maybe
the eight games.
But everybody gives him love for, boom, nastiness and mentality when he comes back and the change, blah, blah, blah. I also think Welker might have a chance because his numbers are okay, but I think players might give him the, wow, he came back. He didn't even miss a beat from the ACL thing, and I think he might get some love there.
Okay. Mike in Cambridge says, hey, guys, I'm in high school, and I don't usually get to listen to the show live, and I was wondering what you guys thought of Football Outsiders. According to their efficiency rankings, the 2010 Pats offense rated higher than 07. Also, they have the Patriots rushing attack ranked first in the NFL. Additionally, they have the rush defense rated lower than the pass defense. That's interesting. I don't know how they rank it.
Yeah, I can't argue with any of that because I don't understand how they tabulate it. Yeah. What does efficiency mean?
Right.
I'm not poo-poo. This isn't one of my normal, all those stats sites that I usually just throw away. I don't know what their criteria is. I don't know how that's formulated.
Owen in Belfast, I know the argument is that the Chiefs have an advantage on Bill and the Patriots because they know them inside out. But can it not be said that Bill knows how Romeo and Charlie Weiss think also?
Sure.
Does Romeo use a similar defense system in Kansas City as to what was used here, just playing devil's advocate? And what do you guys think of Dane Fletcher? Do you guys see him sticking with the team over the next few years?
Intriguing young guy. Andy, you want to get into our Friday conversation about Dane Fletcher, if you recall from our press conference? Very interesting. I'm getting the glass-eyed look. Fred.
Yeah.
Defensive lineman in college
to
transfer as inside linebackers in the pros.
Right.
Bill Belichick came up with three guys.
Right.
Three examples of guys who successfully did it in the hundreds.
Yeah, Bruschi.
In his mind, hundreds have tried.
Right.
Bruschi, Harry Carson, and Dane Fletcher.
Yeah.
Three examples of guys who have been able to make what he described as a very difficult transition.
It's a pretty good group to be in if you're Dane Fletcher.
Right. And no one's disputed it. I don't know if anyone's taken the time to see, but...
But and the other thing I'm now recollecting this whole little discussion.
Thanks.
The other thing was a lot of guys have tried, but only three made it.
Right.
Using
the
word made it, like Dane Fletcher has made
finished
it.
Product.
Made what?
He made it.
He made the roster. He's made a couple plays, but what do you mean made it? I found that interesting. Dan Klecko would be a name here that everybody wanted to make an inside linebacker, and he couldn't. He just couldn't do it. But
a lot of things they asked him to do, other than fullback.
Who's the guy on the?
They tried him in a lot of different places.
He was a huge inside line.
LeVon Kirkland.
Was he a lineman in college? No,
I don't know. Evidently not, because I don't think Bill would have forgotten about a guy like that.
Because he was like 290 as an inside linebacker.
I remember him. I don't know and remember him in college.
Oh, you actually know LeVon Kirkland. Good, Andy. Because
why
was
would
like
I not know
in the 90s? So I don't know if
you had the audacity to just say, why would I not know him?
Right.
I know everything.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know gay little plays about barefoot in the park.
Nathan from Southern California. At the headlines of the NFL website, it states, Patriots Brady, the MVP doesn't make a lot of sense. And right above it, it says, Obama praises the Eagles for giving Vic a second chance. Brady's quote is taken completely out of context because it is implying by the headline that Brady himself is saying that he doesn't make a lot of sense for the MVP, where in fact he was stating that the MVP award itself doesn't make sense because it's a team sport. Anyway, it appears that the NFL website is littered with propaganda to get Brady out and Vic in. This really bothers me. Agree or disagree?
Totally disagree.
Yeah, I
everybody read that quote and then knew exactly what Brady was talking about.
I think
so.
Nathan, I understand everyone hates him. I agree with you.
And
there.
I agree with that. I'm down.
And everyone hates the Patriots. But
I'm down with the paranoia.
That's a little paranoid.
With the paranoia, just not in this case.
Yeah, that's a little bit.
Because to say that the NFL hates Brady is ridiculousness.
Yeah.
He's definitely one of their, at maximum, three poster boys. He and Manning are two, and I don't know if you want to throw Vic into that party this year, but I mean, who gets more credit NFL league wide than Tom Brady and Peyton Manning? Anybody?
Right.
I don't think you can make an argument for anybody.
Tom in Pittsburgh writes in, Brady and Vic's mutual responses to questions about their MVP candidacy this week highlights the difference between the two as QBs as well as people. I've been watching more and more of Vic, and the more I see, the more of a playground quarterback he looks to me. Run horizontally until Jackson or Macklin get behind the defense, then throw or run against man coverage. Coughlin should be fired for playing man coverage up 17 with 7 minutes left. The only way you get hurt is long balls or Vic running, and you set him up for both, idiot. It had as much to do with the loss as the punter did. The thing no one seems to mention is that Vic gets a lot of camera time on the sidelines, and I don't remember one time seeing him review film on the sideline. Is he that good? Vic's worst games are against well-disciplined defenses, and the Eagles' best win of the year against Atlanta didn't even have Vic in the game. He's an amazing athlete, but as a quarterback, he still has a long way to go. Love the Pats this year. Wilfork is a beast, but McCourty is the MVP. After Bodden went down, everyone thought this secondary was toast. 6 picks, 2 forced fumbles, a sack, and 70 tackles later, it looks like Bodden will be coming back a number two corner. I expected Wilfork to play like the best nose tackle in football, and he didn't disappoint. But the surprise this year are the turnovers, and that's spearheaded by McCourty. That's a good email. I mean, you know, you may not agree, but it's well thought out.
Well, I'm totally with all the Patriots stuff, the defense stuff. I totally disagree with the Vic stuff based on everything I've read. Now, I haven't watched intently every Philadelphia game, but I saw comments from Marty Morningweg, their offensive coordinator, a couple of weeks ago where he said that Vic went through the entire game and did not miss a single read. Every time he threw the football, he threw it where he was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And every time he ran, it was after he went through his progressions and did the proper thing.
And too many people are saying
they're
that.
Going back to the Atlanta days when he when he didn't study and didn't do anything. Now listen, is this a propaganda machine with Michael Vick? Yeah, probably. They're probably making more out of this stuff. But everything that we're reading and hearing out of Philadelphia right now is that this guy is a totally different quarterback. Forget the man. Forget coming out of prison to change man. He's a totally different quarterback in terms of getting to the facility early, putting in his film work and studying and getting out of there late and not taking for granted his ridiculous athleticism.
But even forget all that. The stats aren't propaganda. He doesn't throw interceptions. His passer rating.
No, but he's dismissing the stats because he's just a playground.
But
you know,
I don't care. However
he's
play,
not doing
if it
like
involves
that.
Completing a good percentage of your passes, throwing the ball to your team and not the other team, scoring points, whatever you think of passer rating, it's used to kind of rank quarterbacks. He's good.
Yeah.
He's had a phenomenal season.
And it's
now.
Not just what's coming out of Philly. Opponents, coaches are saying the same. It's like when Seymour was here. We'd be like, geez, he must be really good because he doesn't show up on the stats. But coaches and opponents always say he's great. Now they're saying it about Vic. You know, if it was just coming out of Philly, okay, maybe just propaganda.
Yeah,
but
and I'm not a huge Michael Vick guy either, but you gotta give him credit for what he's done this year. He's done it in a different way than he did it in Atlanta. That's, to me, fairly evident.
Using your little Seymour thing, by the way, Mayo would fall under that because he certainly gets a ton of praise from other coaches, GMs. You know, Polian's called him the bell cow or whatever, heir apparent to Ray Lewis. One of the other coaches talked about he's in the middle of everything they do on defense.
It's true.
So
you guys don't believe me. Matt from Quincy says, tell Lucky I can burn him a copy of the game to DVD if he wants anything for someone serving our country. So there you go, Lucky. Just send us an email if you want Matt from Quincy to do that for you.
PFW, a social networking tool.
Brandon from Salem, New Hampshire says, I keep hearing Andy saying, sure.
Sure.
Well, anyway, how about that Brandon Merriweather? I had my doubts about him, but I saw him miss a hit completely and blow into someone on our team. I'm not too sure who it was, but he didn't get up for a while. We need to get rid of him. I do have a little man crush brewing on Paige. Moving on. As for the playoffs, the only team I don't want to play is the Ravens. They don't seem to lay down for any team, and Brandon has a target on his back from Suggs.
Brady.
Brandon? Yeah, I think he meant Brady. I would love
Brandon
to,
might have a target on his back from Heap.
From
I would love to play the Jets. As you guys predicted, they imploded. So,
sure.
Just watching too much Barefoot in the Park. That's what they're doing.
Do you even remember what the movie was about?
Oh, I never saw it. You know? Let's see. A lot of emails coming in.
Read some.
I need help.
I agree. Medical.
Let's see.
Period graph. That's enough.
Trey from Dallas, Texas. Just wondering how before every game I can be worried or kind of expecting a letdown. I mean, we have won every game in a dominating fashion. I'm not sure if that's true. And still I can be worrying my ass off come game time. However, I don't see them losing.
And you wonder where Fred gets his mentality from.
Right. Wow. However, I don't see them losing the
rest
of the
We've won every game in a dominating fashion.
Right.
That's what people are saying.
However, I don't see them losing the rest of the way. In fact, I'm ready for them to come to Dallas. Oh, and if anyone, including so-called professional analysts, think that Brady should not be the MVP, they need to be slapped. They should look at the numbers again and look at what this guy is doing. I'm not down-talking Vic at all. He's a great player, has been playing very well. But am I the only one who thinks this race shouldn't be close at all?
I don't.
Well, I think it should be close.
I think it should be unanimous.
No, you
first
can
place
definitely
votes.
Make the case
I think
for
Brady should win, but I don't think it should be like a 40-10 kind of thing.
Well, what did that Pro Football Focus say about why? I think they had Brady ranked fourth or fifth,
something like that,
on their race.
I didn't.
But that was before San Diego got knocked out because I think they had Philip Rivers over
and
Brady.
Ryan, maybe.
Yeah,
we're ahead of Brady.
So maybe they've changed that now, but I don't know. I'd like to know what their argument is.
Ask them.
You know. Tune into the playbook.
John Rook.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Hot Nicole in Cranston.
Whoa. Send photos to verify your name, please.
Well, I don't know if you want that because her subject line is Andy the Idiot.
Oh.
She says, Fathead, part of
Clearly
your charm.
Clearly you're not hot.
Yeah.
Part of your charm had been your un-PC-ishness. Your rant the other day of how you do not prejudge names was stupid and a waste of time. Any inquisitive mind would have seen the oddness, or for Eric's sake, the queerness of a name such as Cohen in the NFL, never mind from a person of African descent, so suck it. Wow.
I don't see Jewish names, I'm sorry.
Nicole is...
And you suck it. No, really.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Dick so now
Stadium.
I'm being...
Dick Stadium.
I left my true self by being open-minded and just seeing people and not being having preconceived notions.
Let's see. What else we got here?
Landon Cohen, not a Jew. But guess who is? Fred Kirsch.
Let's see. Ken Walter. A favor for
like
Ken Walter.
Still around, guys.
Last week, Andy said something about forwarding my email to Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots. Since he doesn't seem to get any of the emails I send him directly, I'd appreciate if you could send this message along. Hi, Coach B. Remember me? Probably not, since you never spoke to me directly while I was with the team, although you did refer to me as the effing punter a bunch. I know you like to add depth and veteran leadership at this stage of the season. Since Junior Seau was, quote, unquote, unavailable, I'd like to volunteer my services. I can do anything he did last season, like stand on the sidelines or dance around after other people make plays, but with the added credibility of actually having won something. Plus, there's no way I would be distracted by a stupid reality TV show, as Versus has assured me there's no way they'd unleash that sort of abomination again. Believe me, I've inquired. So let me know. I can be at Gillette Stadium this afternoon, but you'll need to let security know I'm welcome. Last time I was there to try and visit you, I got tased. Happy holidays, Ken Walter.
That's the best character we've ever had.
He's very good.
So
he did refer to me as the effing punter once.
I think he did.
Probably more than once. We just didn't hear all of them.
Manish says, hi, Fred, Paul, and Andy. How y'all doing? Gronkowski is fourth in Pro Bowl voting for rookies. Philip Rivers leads the quarterback votes.
No,
he does? No. I do you guys think Hernandez
Tom Brady led all votes.
I don't know when the last time you looked.
Oh, does this include players and coaches? Is this
I don't know.
Breaking news?
They don't break that stuff, do they?
Who?
They tell you the coaches and players voting? And who's winning?
No,
that?
But if changed.
Is this updated? Is this today?
Oh, I don't know. Manish, let us know where you're getting this info from.
Because it's either really old or really new.
Right.
Is that the guy from You Like from New York, the writer?
Yeah, something like that. The jet stream. What's his name? Fred calls it the urine stream.
G-Force Driver. I'm supposed to say driver as in driver with a Boston accent. So driver.
Driver.
Says, hey, Fred, Paul, and Andy. Love the G-Force draft pick. Bill has been looking for tight end like him forever. I remember when he was drafted that most of the pundits wrote that the only reason he fell out of the first round was his injury and lack of playing time as a senior. What I want to know is how he lasted all the way to the 42nd pick. There hasn't been a hint of his injury all this season. In my opinion, Bill got his man. Call me a homer, but I think that the Pats have two excellent candidates for Rookie of the Year award. Gronkowski, who was two touchdown catches away from the rookie tight end record for touchdown receptions, and McCourty, who is, what, two or three picks away from the rookie record for number of picks in a season? So what do you guys think?
For the Patriots.
Is Sue a shoe-in for Rookie of the Year, or do G-Force and McCourty enter the conversation?
Well, G-Force doesn't because Sam Bradford's going to win it.
Yeah, this is one. The Brady one, that one needs to be lopsided to me. Sam Bradford needs to win that one in a route.
And he will.
He should.
It may be unanimous.
Yeah, to be to
now
do
Gronkowski
it at that
should,
position. You know.
Gronkowski, I mean, I don't think they do it. You know, you don't pick first, second, third, and pile up points. I think it's just 50 guys. They vote, and you get the 50 votes are tabulated. So maybe Gronkowski gets a vote or two, but Bradford should win that, if not unanimously, pretty close.
Fred,
McCourty will definitely be in the running.
I inquired to the PR department about what the record for the best turnover ratio was in NFL history. And got back from Aaron Salkin. Washington plus 43 in 1983. KC plus 26 in 1990. Those are the top two as of now. Does that mean those are the top two until we break it? Or
right. They're
still researching and as of now that's what they've come up with? Quite a problem with NFL statistics. That's why they don't measure up to baseball in that way.
It's interesting that
you can't find anything.
It's interesting that neither one of those teams won the Super Bowl.
I thought the Redskins did, so I don't.
They didn't. They lost to the Raiders. Big, 38-9.
Lyndon writes in from California.
I need the PR guy to challenge Paul again.
It was great to see the Pats defense step up and create so many turnovers and to see Mayo making some plays downfield. I thought we were in trouble when Fred Jackson ran all over the Pats in the first possession. Do you think the Pats will approach next week like a preseason game? It would be nice to see Welker get his 100th catch. And for Ben Jarvis Greenellis.
17.
Doesn't he have 83 catches?
Yeah. And for Ben Jarvis Greenellis to get 1,000 yards.
That's going to happen.
I'm guessing they won't risk it considering what happened to Welker last year. My wife bought me Madden 2011 for Christmas. It's been a long time since I've spent much time playing video games. But I've been hooked since Christmas morning. The Pats team is pretty realistic. Woodhead is much better than I thought.
he'd be in the video.
Yeah, and
that's realistic.
And Mayo leads my team in tackles, most of them coming 6 yards downfield. Well, that's your problem because you don't play it well.
Well, what's the problem with the real Mayo then?
It's all mad.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
I don't know what he has to do to earn your respect. It's unbelievable.
He's got my respect. I think he's a very good player.
I can tell from your snarky tone that you don't believe that the Raiders beat the Redskins in the 83 Super Bowl.
I have no idea.
Do you remember the Marcus Allen run where he starts one way, cuts yes. back the other, and goes like yes. 75 yards? That's the game.
Yes. And that was the only score of the game they won?
No, that was the game. 38-9 they won. It was a blowout.
How does he know
I believe
that?
You. You don't have to get defensive.
Sam in Chicago.
Just because you're wrong a lot lately doesn't mean I have any less faith in you than I used to have.
What am I wrong a lot lately?
I don't know. Seems like you've had a poor streak here.
Evaluating talent? Yeah, I'm wrong a lot. I thought the Patriots were going to go 10-6. I was wrong about that, but I mean, something that's kind of a fact.
You can't ever challenge him on a fact. You just got to assume he's right.
No, but it's one thing to like guess
tick,
on something.
Tick, 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 tick.
I know when Paul knows he's probably right on that one.
He might be.
Probably.
It happened in the 80s, so, you know.
And he was gambling on it, so he had a rooting interest.
Sam in Chicago, in regards to the Patriots, are above the rest with their conduct. I noticed a sign in one of the doors coming into Foxborough Stadium that the players walk through. It lists four virtues that the organization seems to uphold well. Paul and Andy, what are the four Patriot virtues on the door?
No idea.
I don't know.
It says, when you leave here, don't believe the hype, manage expectations, ignore the noise, and speak for yourself. Those are he wants.
I've never seen that.
Them to remember when they're not here.
I've never seen that.
And I don't think that I said that the what separates the Patriots from other teams is their behavior and conduct.
No,
because I don't.
Well, we did say
that
when things happen, they don't escalate.
Right. They don't make it a distraction. Right. That's Bill Belichick.
Right. And Andy, does your wife ever listen to the show? How do you get away with comments like, "Did you notice that the hostess with the huge gazongas?"
Because I would say that to my wife if my wife were there with me.
Okay.
I am the same person at home as I am here.
Craig from Ottawa.
Ottawa.
We officially have the bye week. I think that was huge for Brandon Spikes. I think we will need the extra week after being away from the team for over a month. What impact will Spikes have on our run defense in the playoffs?
A positive one.
Talked about this in our TV show. I think this
should help.
They can turn this into a positive for Spikes.
Oh, I'm not so sure about that. I just think they're better with him on the run defense than without him.
Yeah, but I also think he's going to come back feeling like he let down his teammates with a chip on his shoulder. I'm sure he's been working out like a madman.
That's how he got in trouble in the first place.
Well, without the aid.
Working on his hammer.
Yeah, you know, so, no, I think he's going to come back ready to play.
Oh, I'm not sold that it's going to be a positive, that he couldn't have benefited from a month of football.
I think it helps him. I think it helps the run defense. I agree with you, but... Yeah, I mean,
he's an instinct player. You don't think his instincts would have been better after seeing, you know, extra 240 snaps?
5 weeks of inactivity. I can't imagine that that's a good thing.
Craig also says Jets losing games and making the playoffs because of help from other teams. Too bad Jacksonville didn't take care of business. If Jones-Drew wasn't injured, the Jets might have been on the outside looking in. I'm glad that we might get the chance to finish them off in the playoffs. I'm hoping to be there for the next hat and T-shirt game on the 23rd. So... that would be the date if the Patriots take care of business on the 16th or 17th. Or is it 16th or 15th?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
23rd is the AFC Championship game?
Yeah, I guess so.
So the 22nd at 5:30 p.m. we'll say, yeah, we got extra tickets. You want to go to this party tonight?
Jason, Illinois. I have nothing against Mike Reese and think he does a lot of great work, but I always see him looking slightly to his right. Is this some kind of Stephen Colbert thing where he is missing a chunk of an ear? Not that
what?
I know of. Colbert, I guess his name is.
He looks to his right.
But what, you mean like on TV?
Yeah.
He does a stand-up?
I never noticed
I noticed, and I don't know if he's done this every week this year, but I noticed he had a segment on SportsCenter on the Monday morning. He had a package that he put together.
Did you like his package?
Off the game. He did a nice job with his package, I thought. I thought he had a nice little package there. On the turnovers and Tom Brady not throwing an interception in 319 passes. Don't ask me why I knew the exact number. It just kind of stuck in my head.
It never
that
registered
is the number,
to
by
me.
The way. I didn't just make it up. That is the number.
It never registered to me, but Bill Belichick coached Bernie Kosar through the other one, too. I didn't
yeah,
know that.
Not really.
Oh.
Because wasn't it from 90 to 91?
Oh, I don't know. I just read this morning that...
Unless that was a mistake on TV, it said Kozar 90-91.
Belichick was after
Belichick
that.
Was the Giants' defensive coordinator at 90.
You sure?
No, he coached him in 91.
You sure?
I'm not sure that Kozar set the record in 90-91. I am sure that Belichick was the defensive coordinator of the Giants in 90.
You sure?
Yes.
Belichick
they also
when he
won the
them.
Super Bowl in 1990.
The streak was active?
No.
Oh.
No, it was that was toward the end of his...
Joel in Merrimack says, hey, guys. Hi, Eric.
He's not here, actually. He took the day off for some reason.
Been listening to another one of Fred's circular arguments, and I'm kind of back and forth on it. Nothing will ever reduce the sting from 07, and I have to admit that I really expect the Patriots to go all the way this year, and if they lose, I'll be disappointed. Now, will that make the season a failure? I don't think so. By the third game of the season, I was thinking 10-6, and by midseason, I was thinking this could turn out to be an interesting season, and after the Chicago beatdown, I was thinking Super Bowl. And even though I fully expect them to win it all, as all Patriots fans should, this doesn't include you, Paul, as you traded your fan card in for a pen long ago, I don't think the season will be a failure if they don't. Anyway, keep up the great work and have a happy new year.
You too.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I don't think that not winning the Super Bowl is a failure in any way, shape, or form.
No.
And not just because I didn't expect them to be this good. You know, I just think that there's a lot of good teams in football this year, and they're all kind of in the same boat.
Right.
And I think anything can happen.
Ed from Reading, hi guys, and he who will be by later. Peter King wrote that Rob Ninkovich must be among the top 10 for quarterback pressures this year. Is he dumber than stupid? What do you think? Is that true?
I don't know why you wouldn't just look it up.
Well, I have seen him back there a lot, and I've complained because he's missed a lot of backfield tackles, so it could be true. Maybe he is back there pressuring the quarterback a lot.
I don't buy it.
I'm sorry. Can't imagine.
I don't know the numbers. I haven't watched, but I've seen every snap this year. And
don't you automatically assume that the guys that have the most quarterback sacks are the guys that have the most pressures? Because
sometimes.
Isn't it kind of hard to believe that, geez, that Cameron Wake, all 14 times he got through, he ended up right. with a sack. You know, what's the odds? You probably get the edge.
Ninkovich pressure the quarterback that much.
You probably get the edge and wind up with a sack, what, a third of the time? I mean, I don't know. I find it hard to believe, but I don't know why Peter King wouldn't just look it up.
Well, I don't know. It's an unofficial stat.
Right.
And
so
it's not
it
even...
It makes him be able to write the stat the way he did if he doesn't do any research on it. Well, he's probably in the top 10.
No, but I mean, quarterback pressures isn't even really a stat in the game book. They have quarterback hits now.
No, I know, but there's ways that you can find it out with all these websites that we've been talking about today.
I don't believe any of them. Including you, Pro Football Focus, your Irish drinking binge.
Andy Hart just wants to fight anybody today. Started with Fred, he went to me, now he's on Pro Football Focus.
Strippers writes in, this is from Pro Football Talk, Channing Crowder, MVP right should be Michael Vick, but it will be Tom Brady. Everybody knows it should be Michael Vick, but they're going to let Brady win it because it's Tom Brady.
Who's this?
Crowder told FanHouse.
Oh.
You've got to go with Vic. Vic's my dude.
That makes no... You just devalued your argument. If you legitimately thought there was like a bias and a problem here, you devalued it by saying, gotta go with Vic, he's my dude.
Right. I'm not sure it's fair to say that everybody knows it should be Vic, as Brady's passing numbers have been significantly better than Vic's this year, and the Patriots have been the best team in football. Crowder may be right, however, that some voters will lean toward Brady for reasons that have more to do with Brady and Vic as people than Brady and Vic as quarterbacks.
Well, that would be unfortunate.
Yeah, I think so, too. On the other hand, some voters might lean toward Vic because the redemption story seems too good to pass up.
That's equally as unfortunate.
Right. Yeah, right.
I hope that's not what happens.
Whatever the merits of the two candidates, with two games to go for Vic and one to go for Brady, the two-man MVP race appears to be too close to call.
Yeah, I think Brady should get it. I think he's had the better season. He also didn't miss any time. Like Vic did. In an emailer earlier made a great point. One of the best wins for Philadelphia this year was they dismantled Atlanta, and they did that with Kevin Cobb. So I think Vic has had a great year, and I think he deserves consideration. I think Brady should win.
Other guys have chimed in. Dwight Freeney said, let's see, with Tom Brady, he has a – He's saying Vic. Lorenzo Alexander from the Redskins says Vic. Ronaldo Hill from the Broncos says Vic. Yeah.
It's unfortunate that I believe this turned into a racial issue.
You know, I was going to.
It is what it is.
I'm keeping myself out. If the players voted for this, yeah, Vic would get 2/3 of the vote. You can do the math any way you want.
London Fletcher from the Redskins. It's between Brady and Vic. I'm going to go with Vic. Redskins center. I guess a lot of Redskins were asked. Casey Rabach.
Brady.
Tom Brady.
Gee, how did he know that?
Dolphins outside.
Chris Cooley said Brady.
Dolphins outside linebacker Cameron Wake. It's got to be somebody on defense. You know what?
Like me, I'm leading the league in sacks.
Put my name on the ballot. No, I'm just kidding because I can't name myself. So whoever's leading in interceptions, defense wins championships, so it has to be a defensive player.
There's a guy who's given it a lot of thought. Someone on defense. Right. Who's leading the league in interceptions?
Dolphins cornerback Benny Sapp, either Asante Samuel or Cameron Wake because of their impact on their team and on their defense.
That's his high school teammate.
Fans, yeah, they're boys.
And Redskins and cornerback Sapp. D'Angelo Hall, if I say you split it between Vic and Brady, if I had to pick one, I'd probably pick Tom because he's been out there every week.
There's one.
Mike was hurt for a couple weeks. The MVP has to be out there all the time.
It's a big problem when D'Angelo Hall is the voice of reason. That's a major issue.
I would be more upset if this ends up being a tie than I would if Vic wins it. I hate ties. And the only way you can have a tie, well, I suppose it could be 25-25. I suppose, I was going to say someone splits their vote.
Right,
but
no.
There's 50 votes. So
we've actually had this next discussion a couple times on this show. Brandon writes in from Birmingham, Alabama. He says, wanted to know your take on the ESPN debate when they were asking who was more essential to the Patriots, Belichick or Brady. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
And I say Brady. I say Belichick. You say Brady.
I say Brady, and then sometimes I think Belichick, and I'll go back and forth.
I mean, but they're it's like talking about
they're inseparable.
Right. It's such a close.
What's more important, your accelerator or your brakes?
Right.
I don't know. I need both.
Right. So they're both awesome.
Yeah.
So they're both awesome.
Remember that?
And we'll forget it.
Let's
see. Say they're both white.
Brooklyn Matt comes in with another haymaker. No Rook today? Gee, no surprise there. There's probably a YMCA youth basketball game he feels he has to announce.
It's actually Syracuse Providence tonight.
Same thing.
So how's about an AK-47 show instead? Come on, Andy.
Oh, now you want more of me?
I want an additional two hours.
Maybe we'll do an SAT prep course so you can do better next time.
I want an additional 2 hours of Andy Gass to tally up on my chalkboard down here. Hey, if no show is scheduled, then I'll call Kevin behind the glass. He could put the show up next to the microphone, and I'll do a Brooklyn Matt show from 2 to 4. How about that one?
Could be me and Brooklyn Matt.
Then we could have the Brooklyn
Andy,
Matt
show. Andy, do you have time or no?
No. No.
Wow.
Maybe if Brooklyn Matt was nicer, I would, but he's mean to me. I'm not giving him
more. Hey, Freddie, I'm trying to make it so we don't have dead air, but your boy over
here is Brooklyn Matt,
us.
Here it is. What do you do for Andy if he does an AK-47 show?
Yeah. Or your mom can do something for me.
Oh, wow. You just ruined it. I thought, you know.
So much for that PC version
so much
of Andy.
For that. Olive branch being extended.
There I could go. Always eat your salad.
What's your name from Cranston? Nicole?
Hot Nicole, hot which Nicole we have no way to verify that. I mean, anybody can say they're hot Nicole. Now, if you send a photo, I can verify it. Like on Twitter, I'll give you the little green check mark.
Dave from the Philippines says, as far as the Patriots and the Pro Bowl, no one will go because they'll be busy. I don't think we'll see any Patriots going to the
Pro
Bowl.
I don't think you should assume they're going to the Super Bowl. Yeah. Paul and Fred don't.
I don't see us losing to anyone in the AFC, so my money says our guys are busy preparing for the big game, and they'll have to skip the Show Bowl.
That's probably accurate.
So,
but they'll still be Pro Bowlers.
Right.
Big P, big B.
By the way, Andy, strippers just wrote in to me and said that he'd buy lunch on Thursday if we do a show, and we don't have a lunch sponsor.
How do we not have a lunch sponsor? That's also another issue.
On Thursday?
On Thursday.
If you spent less time worrying about the AK-47 show and more time getting us lunch.
I see all these chat rooms on PFW Progress. Yeah, I tried to buy lunch like 3 times, but he never responded to me.
Well, we haven't had too many times where we haven't had lunch, I don't think.
We haven't, but you just said Thursday was coming.
Strippers also writes in that Pro Football Focus was debating the whole Ninkovich pressure thing with Peter King on Twitter, and no Patriot has more than 20% of his team's pressures. So I don't know what that means either, because 19% could mean the most in the league. I don't know.
Right. Fred not happy with all these numbers being bandied about.
Well, and I agree with Fred, and Andy and I have sort of railed against this in the past. you can give us numbers on these sort of, you know, obscure things, but if they're not put into context as to what is a good number, you know, like the whole efficiency thing, well, what does that mean? You know, what do you, you got to explain it to me, because to me, any way you're comparing this offense to the 2007 offense, the 2007 offense should come out ahead.
Right.
So if you're saying that the efficiency is better for this offense, what are you basing that on?
Yeah, well,
I don't know what that means.
What does efficiency mean? Like when they say an efficient run, it's a run of over 4 yards, four first down,
or a
touchdown. You know, so
you have an idea of what it means.
Yeah.
And they always tell you that if you hit 50%, that's knocking it out of the park. So if you run the ball 40 times and 20 of them are efficient,
right,
that's great. That's a great number.
Right.
So you have an idea of what's good.
Right.
I don't know, you know, 20% of your team's pressures, how many pressures do the Patriots have? And then in relation to the rest of the league, if the Patriots have 50 pressures this year,
right,
does the best pass rushing teams have 150 or do they have 70?
Yeah, there's a lot of variables.
Big difference.
There. Like Jared Allen, he may have 98% of their pressures, but if they have a low number of pressures compared to some other team where it's spread out between Freeney and Mathis and whatever, well, I'd rather have the team that has more pressures in general than just one guy with all the pressures.
Yeah, and I also
don't know what a pressure is.
Andy's point about that it's not an official stat. Who's deciding what a pressure is?
Right? I mean,
there are times
back in the old days when Matt Cassel first started playing, if a guy if he went a foot over the line, Matt ran. So was he pressured
like
into running?
Like the play that Hoyer ran this week in mop up. He dropped back. He kind of slipped, and then
right.
He was like, "Oh,
gotta go!"
And he started running.
He wasn't pressured.
Was
the only
no
pressure was from in his own head.
Right. He just kind of lost his bearings, and his first instinct was, "I got to get out of the pocket and run."
Right.
There was no pressure.
A lot of vagaries in these new age football statistics.
Chris writes in, "Hey guys, in the seat that Eric used to sit in. Don't worry, he'll be by later.
It is empty, but it's not tipped up like he likes to have it."
I've been listening since. That's so the guys with the vacuums can get underneath.
like the guys with vacuums underneath them.
I've been listening since the months leading up to the Brandon Merriweather draft, and I'm just writing in to give a PFW shout out. I grew up in Bozeman, Montana, but I live in Los Angeles now. I returned to Bozeman
home
for
up.
Christmas and went to watch the Patriots game at a local bar called The Cannery, which happens to be owned by a Mr. Bob Fletcher, Dane Fletcher's father. Dane's mom and dad were both watching the game, wearing Dane's jersey, of course, and they were absolutely terrific hosts, two of the nicest people you'll meet. Bob Fletcher came over and introduced himself, and we chatted for a while about how proud he was of Dane and how excited he was when he found out Dane had signed with the New England Patriots. The atmosphere was great, and as you can imagine, the place went absolutely nuts when Dane had the fumble recovery and when he had the pick. Great food, cheap beer, and fantastic people. I don't know what else he could ask for. I'll be at the Cannery again next week for the Pats game for sure. I have to get them on the fan club network.
I thought he grew up on a farm. Didn't he try to spin us that he was a farm boy from Montana in his getting to know and training camp?
Well, they could still have a farm and a bar.
He's enough time to run a bar and a farm.
He's another one, by the way, like Ninkovich. Just a really nice guy.
Oh, yeah, the nicest.
Really nice guy.
Almost to the level of can't really believe what's going on in his life right now niceness.
It's like,
like I'm going to ride this train as long as I can.
That was kind of the neat thing post-game, because there's so many new guys that haven't experienced this. Those hats and T-shirts, it was like, this is like Christmas. They were all like giddy little kids, like with these hats on. Like, we won the division.
Except for Gerard Warren was making fun of me trip over his bag.
Yeah, we haven't made enough of that.
What happened?
On the show.
Nothing, really.
It's very small locker room.
Yeah, it's tiny, absolutely tiny. And all the bags were in the middle of the walkway, too much media. And so I'm stepping. You have to take these huge strides over the bags, and I catch a toe on a bag. And as I'm kind of stumbling on it, I hear somebody say, "Gerard, what are you doing?" And he goes, "Nah, just sitting back and watching the unathletic media trip over my bag."
And he was talking about you?
Oh, yeah, he was talking
about
me.
Andy.
Good. Gerard Mayo should get at you for all the barbs you've thrown his way.
Except it was Gerard Warren.
What barbs have you thrown his way?
Who?
Gerard Warren.
No, he said Mayo.
Oh, I thought you said Mayo was...
I know, I didn't. You just heard what you wanted.
Kraft
what?
And Mayo
Rodney
go
Mayo.
Together.
Linden says the record for Kozar spanned 2 years, 90-91 in 91 yeah. Belichick record.
So it was only 1 year that he was a coach.
Really sorry didn't. About
do
the
we
Mayo
know,
comment,
was it like
Fred. I
1
think
in
he's a decent
90
player.
And 700?
Well, that's true, too. You know, if
it was the last pass
200
of, the, right.
of 50 of them happened in 91, then I would say that's true. But I don't know what the numbers are there.
Let's see. Ted writes in about Football Outsiders, or Mike in Cambridge writes in. Why do people have one name for their email and then they say there's somebody else?
Is it
else?
Mike in Cambridge or Mike McCambridge?
Mike in Cambridge.
Oh, okay.
And why is his name Ted on his
I don't
email?
Know. I think these people are playing tricks on us.
But like, we don't know them, whether it's Mike or Ted. We don't know who they are.
But Football Outsiders, he says, uses DVOA, or Defense Adjusted Value Over Average, for their efficiency rankings. Do you want the explanation?
Not really.
No?
Well, Paul does. We asked for it. Now we got to take
it. It's one paragraph. It says, DVOA is a method of evaluating teams, units, or players. It takes every single play during the NFL season and compares each one to a league average baseline based on situation. DVOA measures not just yardage, but yardage towards a first down. 5 yards on third and four are worth more than 5 yards on first and 10, and much more than 5 yards on third and 12. Red zone plays are worth more than other plays. Performance is also adjusted for the quality of the opponent. DVOA is a percentage, so a team with a DVOA of 10% is 10% better than the average team. And a quarterback with a DVOA of minus 20% is 20% worse than the average quarterback. Because DVOA measures scoring, defenses are better when they are negative. For more detail, read below, which I'm not going to do.
Boring.
So it's still
vague.
We don't know what their efficient means. You know, I don't know. It's tough. But I'm glad they're trying to do that. It's good to have that.
Why don't they just try to tell me what the greatest turnover ratio is of all time, a real statistic that's been around forever? Why don't we master the real stats before we get into the made-up ones?
Let's see. Hot Nicole says that she
attachment.
Will, she says she will send a picture for proof of my love for the Patriots and my hotness.
Oh.
When?
I don't know. But again,
we're
the
waiting.
Email says it's a guy named Mike. So I'm not even sure if Nicole is Nicole or Mike.
He really?
That really bothers him.
It does.
Really upset about it.
Why don't you just read the name they use and not the email
we're
address?
We're honest. I want our listeners to be honest.
We're honest.
Actually, Andy Hart is a
Chuck
radio
from Brighton
name.
Wants you to do an AK-47 show.
Great, Chuck. If Hot Nicole sends a photo and is indeed hot, I'll do an AK-47 show.
Hurry up, Nicole.
Lynn writes in. Again,
take
I don't know
the
if
photo
it's Lynn
now,
or it could be Tom.
And I need
or
to see
least
a little
an hour.
Nip.
She says she loves the show. I have to agree the MVP race will be racial in almost all the numbers.
Then Brady will win because the writers are white.
But here's the thing.
What if it's one of those pencil eraser ones?
It won't be racial because the players don't vote.
Right.
In almost all the numbers, Brady has the edge. The one thing that no one talks about is common opponents between the two. They both face the NFC North. Brady was 4-0. Vic is currently 1-2. The game that really matters is Chicago. Brady went to Chicago and blew out the Bears. Vic went to Chicago and got blown out. Brady, MVP, it's a no-brainer.
31-26 they lost.
They got blown out, though.
Yeah, by 5.
How do you know that score?
I don't know.
Off the top of your head.
I don't
How do
know.
You know two teams in the NFC score?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you.
It's the bottom line, man. You memorize it after a while when you're watching ESPN.
Why?
Brooklyn Matt is offering
funny,
a set
I just
of
ignore it after a while.
Brooklyn Matt is offering a set of encyclopedias if you do an AK-47
what?
Show. Brooklyn Matt is offering a set of encyclopedias.
I don't
to
need
you.
A set of encyclopedias.
Apparently he thinks you do.
He needs a set of testicles.
Wow.
Wow.
I'd rather see a set of your mom's
Yeezy.
Beaver Stadium.
Warren in London.
She
now we have
beavers.
All but we have all but played the 2010 schedule. Can Fred give us his verdict on how strong it was compared to what he thought it would be before the season started? It wasn't as strong as I thought, or what anyone thought.
See, I think it was the schedule.
Yeah,
I think they played one of the toughest schedules in football.
For this year, yeah.
Oh yeah, I have to go back because Pittsburgh.
He just changed it.
No,
again.
The Ravens. I was just.
I
thinking
think they
of,
played all the playoff teams.
Yeah.
They
I mean,
beat them
I
all.
Mean, we thought Miami was
just
because
all
good.
Those teams
Miami
weren't as good as other years.
Right.
Miami was
mean.
What we thought they were going to be—a 500 team.
A lot of people thought Miami might even be number one in the AFC East.
If they were, it was going to be at 9-7 because they were all going to beat each other up. Instead, they're going to be 8-8,
right?
Or 7-9,
right?
Coach
Scott from Oregon.
Hey, who had that Nick Saban rumor, and how come I haven't seen it anywhere?
Pro Football Talk.
How come it hasn't like? Resonated.
Well,
no, he kind of poo-pooed it.
They said that there was no.
He said there's nothing to it at this time.
Who did?
Florio.
Oh. So I was going to say, if Saban said it, then I would think he's automatically gone. Because he just lies.
He lies.
Scott from Oregon says, I would just like to say how I love how Coach Belichick has created a team that it's not about the Pro Bowl. It's not about the MVP. It's about the Super Bowl. And I think that was really personified by Brady's comments about MVP this week. So,
Paul would like to comment on that. Go, Paul.
I just lost a little of my lunch in my throat.
And Mike in Cambridge says the reason his email says Ted is because it's registered under his dad's name. Ted.
Don't cost that much, son.
Doesn't cost anything, actually. Hotmail, Gmail, they're all free.
Let's see. From Wikipedia says Barbara.
Hey, Barb.
His Dane Fletcher's parents owned a 100-acre farm on the outskirts of town, the cannery, a bar and liquor store, and Burger Bob's, a hamburger joint in Bozeman. So they own half of Bozeman.
So they are Bozeman.
What do you mean half of it? They are like
they're entrepreneurs.
Now I want to know more about this because clearly he is like wealthy in Bozeman.
Is he Jewish?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Is Fletcher a Jewish name?
Would that be more interesting?
For Fred, it would be, not for me. I'm interested in people, not their names and their religion.
Well, that's part of people. Paul in London says, if you do an AK-47 show, he'll stick around and hear it.
Well, we're waiting.
I'm waiting for Hot Nicole.
And Chuck in Brighton says, I'm 5'8", 290 pounds. If that turns you on, I'll send a picture, but I'm keeping my clothes on.
You're fatter than Paul.
So, why is it
by that much?
Feel it necessary
it's
to
funny because
take
he's
rocket
fat.
Shots at everybody, not just
no,
me.
No, not just you.
I said everybody. What time is it?
And everyone's mom.
No.
Still have like 5 minutes.
Yeah, we have 5 minutes for Nicole to get her hotness in.
Paul just wants out of here.
He does. Well, I don't know what he's going to do today.
No, it's the opposite. I could do the show.
So
all
then why don't you stay and we'll do an AK-47 PP show?
Because I wouldn't want to disrupt.
He doesn't bring anything to the show anyway. It's the A show.
The A team will not be on today.
Nice of you to be a team player.
It's the A-47 show.
This was actually sent in a while ago, but Brandon in Salem, New Hampshire said, Andy just said, sure. I swear he said it to the guy on the phone.
Just so you know, I've been doing it on purpose lately because it's a thing now. I still don't have evidence from past that I used to do.
That's my my project, right?
Sure. Sure.
Bad Kevin writes in, hey, Fred, Paul, Eric, and D-Bag. Quick question. With all of the coaching vacancies currently and potential firings, what coaches on the Patriots staff do you see as potential candidates for those jobs, or do we keep all our coaches?
Less than zero.
Yeah, I think that you keep all your coaches. Your worry is what you talked about earlier, Freddie, if you're worried about it, Floyd Reese.
Yeah.
Maybe like Pepper going somewhere to be a coordinator for somebody, if he has somebody, a connection, I don't know.
Well, after the work he did this weekend, Matt Caracciola could get snagged by another team. He's the guy that handles all the arrangements on the road.
I'd be surprised if Pepper did that.
I would be too, but if he doesn't think he's going to get a chance, he's clearly said he wants a chance. And I don't know relationships with guys, and who knows? If somebody he's somewhat tight with from the past says, you want to come be my D coordinator, he'd say, you know what? I need to advance my own career.
Brett in Orlando, hey, guys, want to put in my 2 cents about the MVP and playoff seedings. I agree that there is an MVP on every defense, offense, and team, but the main reason why Tom Brady is my favorite player is because I believe he's completely genuine when he says that he doesn't care about the MVP. And when he gives credit to the O-line running game and turnovers as part of the reason for his success,
Hell no.
He knows that his success is ultimately team success. In regards to playoff seeding, I think KC and Indy will stay where they are unless KC loses on Sunday. This means that Baltimore will go to Indy and New York will go to KC. I never root for the Jets, but I will in that game because Baltimore and Indy are the only two teams I don't want the team to play. And if the Jets win, they will play the Jets. Indy will go to Pittsburgh, where I think they will lose, which means the Pats will play the Steelers in the AFC title game. If they make the Super Bowl, I also fear the Eagles and Saints because of the quarterback, team speed, and playmaking ability. All right.
I don't mean to disregard that email, but does Tom Brady not caring really play into, you know, only caring about the team goals and everything else really play into his, what we know of him to be the ultimate competitor?
Brady.
Because to me,
pitching a 10 back there,
as Wes Welker said in the locker room, he competes at everything he does. If you give him a ping pong paddle, he's yelling and screaming and throwing stuff. So, yes, I know football is a team sport and the Super Bowl ring is the end result, but that doesn't mean you can't win the MVP along the way and can't have the most touchdowns along the way. And I think he wants to win the Super Bowl while being the best quarterback with the most touchdowns, with the hottest wife, with the biggest contract, with the most money, with everything.
When is that announced?
What?
The MVP, all the postseason awards. When are they announced?
First week of January. I don't know. It goes in through there somewhere. after the season, and then they trickle out.
I thought it was a little later than that. But
okay, maybe.
If I were a Patriot fan, if you're right, and it's before the playoff games will be played, but before the Patriots playoff games are played anyway, I would be rooting for Vic. Because I think it's absolutely insane to suggest that he doesn't care about winning that award. That'll be a major, major source of motivation for him, and the team will rally around it.
And his
and
coach.
You won't hear a word about it until after they win the Super Bowl in Dallas, and it'll come pouring out.
When his coach says, hard to imagine that he's not the best player in football.
Right.
Hard to imagine not the best quarterback in football.
They care a lot about those things. They just pretend that they don't at the time.
So no photo yet?
All right, Hot that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
Same with the Pro Bowl, by the
Thanks
way,
Thanks for
today.
Everyone that called in, emailed in. I know I didn't get to everybody's email, but
but you gave it a shot.
John Rook will get to him. And oh, no, we don't, have,
don't have a show.
Show.
Me and he's still waffling.
He's doing a Y game. So
I'll do a show.
Oh!
Nice.
But only if Paul stays.
So we can do emails.
Andy's doing an AK-47 show.
I'm doing an AK-47 show.
All right, everybody stay on the
line. We might have a little pee-pee with BB.
Whatever you want to play with, that's up to you. You're not playing with me, man.
All right, as for me, I got work to do, so we'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.